The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Tuesday, July 17th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a 14-year-old boy, one of five people injured during a shooting in North Philadelphia, died of a gunshot wound to the head, police say. Three other victims were children, including an 11-year-old. It happened around midnight in the 2100 block of North 4th Street. Officers that arrived on the scene found four shooting victims, three boys and one man, an 11-year-old who was shot in the lower back, a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old, and then a 24-year-old man who was shot in the leg. The boys were taken to St. Christopher's Hospital for Children. The 24-year-old was taken to Temple University Hospital. Police later learned that the 14-year-old with a gunshot wound to the head was rushed to Hahnemann University Hospital in critical condition by a private car. He died from his injuries hours later. The 2100 block of North 4th Street was littered with as many as 20 shell casings. Nearby cars were sprayed with bullets. Philadelphia Police Chief Inspector Scott Small said at this time it is unclear who was the intended target and which, if any, were struck by a stray gunfire. Witnesses tell police that there may have been two shooters. From victims and witness accounts, police were able to determine that one of the suspects is known to authorities. Police say a nearby surveillance camera may be able to help them. They think that it captured all or at least part of the incident. Emergency dispatchers say up to 24 injuries were reported after several school buses collided in Burlington County yesterday. The crash happened at about 4:30 at Tuckerton Road and Lenape Trail in Medford Lakes. Officials say the accident involved five school buses transporting campers from the JCC camp on Tuckerton Road in Medford. Several of the buses were visibly damaged. 24 individuals needed to be transported to the hospital for minor injuries, Medford Township Police Chief said. Four of the buses needed to be towed away from the scene because they had extensive damage.
What set the accident in motion?
I don't really know. It doesn't really say exactly why all of these buses collided. I think it was sort of just like a chain reaction.
Right.
A statement released by Medford Police said first responders identified 21 children and one staff member and two school bus drivers with injuries that were all determined to be minor in nature. 67 campers and 10 staff members were taken off of the buses and transported back to the JCC camp on additional buses to be reunified with their families. CATS JCC camps at Medford said that they were communicating directly with the families of campers and issued a statement thanking the first responders for their prompt response. An investigation into the cause of the crash continues. Police say a woman who was on vacation from London was impaled by a beach umbrella at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, again, it's happened again.
The Asbury Park Press reports 67-year-old Margaret Reynolds was at Seaside Heights Monday around 4:30 when part of an aluminum umbrella pierced her right ankle and was driven completely through due to the force of the wind.
Did they have to get firefighters, right, to remove it?
Yeah, so the police chief said that fire crews were called in and they actually had to use a bolt cutter to free the umbrella from the woman's
ankle. That's how far it went through.
Yeah, and to be able to put her in the ambulance.
Yeah.
I had these people on, I guess that was Sunday? Yeah, their umbrella just complete, and they had no idea. It was just like kind of tumbling down the beach. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll go get this for you.
So what are they doing? Are they clamping down on that and people having umbrellas like that with the spiky bottom? Or what's the story?
You kind of need them
all over. Yeah. You know what? We have, I have this great umbrella and it still does have a stake that goes in, but it has four sides and you fill it with sand. The thing doesn't move.
Okay.
Yeah. You also, you should get the ones that have like a screw at the bottom and you screw it in and that really kind of plants it in there.
Those are good. I have a dog chain that where you can just take any lawn and just screw it into the lawn and it's not going anywhere.
But honestly, if it's too windy out there, then just put your umbrella down. You know, right. I did that 2 weeks ago where I was like, okay, this isn't even worth it. So just take it down and unfortunately just put more sunblock on or something.
Authorities have not released further details on how the woman was injured, and her current condition is not known. All right, let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Last night at the Home Run Derby, Rhys Hoskins won the first round but was unable to advance passed the second. Home run favorite Bryce Harper finished the final round of the Derby with 19 homers, winning the contest in bonus time over Cubs slugger Kyle Schwarber, who beat Hoskins in round two. Before the contest, the Nationals sent out an email to their mailing list promising to reduce ticket prices of lower-level seats for every home run Harper hit, down to as low as $1. Harper hit 45 home runs on his way to winning the trophy, and with lower-level tickets in two sections starting at less than that amount, it means tickets for those seats for five games will sell for $1 each while supplies last.
Wow.
The All-Star Game itself is tonight in Washington, D.C., and Redskins ace Chris Sale will make his third consecutive...
Red Sox. Did I write Redskins?
No, I said Red Sox, no?
No, you said Redskins ace.
Okay. Yes, okay, so Red Sox. He will start for the third time while Nationals pitcher Matt Scherzer takes the ball for the National League for the second straight year. It's a repeat of last July's starting matchup in Miami where Sale pitched two scoreless innings and Scherzer matched him with a scoreless first inning. Despite being in the first place in the National League, the Phillies have only one player at the Midsummer Classic, pitcher Aaron Nola. Game time tonight at National Park is set for 8 o'clock. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, morning, y'all, and welcome to second day into the work week. Tuesdays, we said there's some rain on the way today, so get yourself set for that. Like I also stated, the rest of the week's looking pretty solid. Belly Flop Championship coming up. Valley Forge and the Valley Beach Poolside. That's on Thursday. Make your plans now. It's early, too. I was talking to a gal that works at the Wawa that I go to. She's like, I didn't know it was early. She's on the website.
Yeah.
Like, I'm coming out to that.
Awesome.
So perfect. So even if you guys work early in the morning, it's an earlier event, and we're going to have a great time, 6 to 8 p.m.
And good weather, as you said earlier.
Yeah, it's looking really, really good. Sunshine and 86 degrees, so we love that. So we're going to get everything set and prepared, and hopefully you're going to be a part of that. And speaking of being a part of things, we are headed to London. It is the Miller Lite London Calling with the Green Legion and the Preston and Steve Show. Now, that's not until October, but we're going to start getting people registered to win a trip along with us. And first event is going to be this weekend. Marissa, on the 20th, will be at Xfinity Live with the MM Army from 5 to 7 p.m. And I'll give you the rest of the dates and times and chances to win. Make sure you do that because we would like to have you go along with us.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great.
It'd be a great event. So those things are taking place as well as this morning on the program. It's been a little while, but we're going to have a Not Your Average Listener. And it's a tandem. It's two people.
Yeah, I love these things. And yeah. I love when there's multiple people.
Yeah, so they're going to be in this morning to tell us the story about themselves and what they do or what they have to offer. And it's going to be up to you to decide whether or not they win the prize. And we have a new jingle and sponsor this morning to play.
I purposely did not listen to it. I want to hear it on air.
We're excited. You're going to like this.
Yes.
So that'll be coming up around 9 o'clock. So hang out for the show. Have a good time with us, and then you can let your voice be heard, and we'll find out if they're going to win or not a little bit later on. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. Some entertainment stories of what I have prepared, as well as a stupid question with some giveaways. And speaking of giveaways, we have some other things that we have your chance to win through the course of the morning. So stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. Two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four juicy boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, four traditional kielbasa sausages, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to give away a pair of tickets for Summerfest Live at Xfinity Live this Saturday, and I have a question about Johnny Depp this morning.
Ooh.
So Johnny Depp's first film role was as a victim in what horror film? 215-263-WMMR. All right, call right now. Johnny Depp's first film role was as a victim in what horror film? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. I'll go through some birthdays, today being Tuesday, July 17th. We'll start from the world of rock. Black Sabbath, Geezer Butler, the bassist, is celebrating his 69th birthday today.
Did you at any time consider the name Geezer for your daughter?
I didn't think about it, but in hindsight, that would have been unique and would have stood out amongst the other students
at
school. I told you guys, Geezer lived in St. Louis, and I never believed it.
Yeah.
And the deal was you would go by Geezer's house for Halloween, and he would be handing out candy, and he had a row of guitars that went up the stairs. I never believed it. And then we had Tony Iommi on.
Yeah, and verified it.
I have told this story every year on Geezer's birthday and asked if that was true. And he's like, yeah, he married a woman from St. Louis. Son of a bitch! I never believed it.
Those stories always seem apocryphal when you're a kid. It was almost legend that Mookie Wilson lived somewhere near
where
he didn't live anywhere near where we were.
I had heard that when I moved out to Harleysville that Faith Hill and
Tim McGraw
had a house out that way. No.
Yeah, Cindy Crawford and Richard Gere were moving into Berwyn when I
was really?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So Geezer's 69 today. John Ventimiglia from The Sopranos, Artie Bucco, celebrates his 55th birthday today. So happy birthday to him.
Didn't he run into a little law running himself?
Oh, that's a good question.
There was a little something, a little shady something, but he's past it now.
So 55 today. PJ Souls, remember her, Steve?
Absolutely. First in Halloween and Stripes and countless other movies, Rock and Roll High School.
Yep. Carrie.
Yep.
She was in Carrie, well. Yep. And then I guess she was in The Devil's Rejects as
well. She was so annoying in Carrie. We're so thrilled that she died. So
was
annoying.
Was she Bill Murray's girlfriend in Stripes, or was she... Who was she?
Yes, she was. Okay. She was the one that Bill Murray was going after, yeah. So she is 68 years old today. Hey, it's the Hoff's birthday.
Oh!
David Hasselhoff. His 66th birthday. We were just talking about him yesterday. He's engaged to be married, and it's going to be happening in fairly short order.
Ooh, those are going to be some creepy wedding photos.
Oh, my God.
We saw a picture of him kissing his bride-to-be.
Yeah.
It looked like a molestation.
It did, so. But they seem to be happy. He met her in England.
And he's still huge in Germany.
Yeah.
During the World Cup, when Germany was going at it, he issued an encouraging video for the team. You know, it's funny in Dodgeball, when he's
I forgot what
cheering on the German team.
It is. Oh, really?
Yeah.
He loves the Hasselhoff.
So he is 66 today. Another great one, Donald Sutherland. Did I just say David Hasselhoff was a great one?
Sure.
I guess it's a great birthday.
He is a great birthday.
He's a great one.
The cake is great, and the games they play.
Wow, Donald Sutherland is 83 today.
Wow.
Getting up there in age.
I was just watching that part in Animal House came on, I guess, when I was waking up the other morning.
When he's trying to teach Dante's Inferno?
Yeah.
It's just hilarious. And the class has one.
No. When he's smoking pot with...
One tiny universe. I saw that clip the other day, and I don't know why. I forgot what that was in reference to. It was in Ant-Man. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yep. Right.
There's because obviously they shrink down to subatomic levels and so on. That's the discussion.
Oh, that's great.
And that clip is playing in the background when they're talking about it. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. MASH, tons of great movies over the years. The Dirty Dozen.
The Dirty Dozen. He's also in a very funny, really good war movie called Kelly's Heroes.
I remember you telling me about that.
And he's playing like a 60s hippie, but he's a tank commander.
And the guy, keep in mind, keeps working to this day.
Had a
very successful run in the Hunger Games most recently.
Yeah.
So he's 83 today. Angela Merkel, Germany's chancellor, also has a birthday today. She is 64. I wonder her and the Hoff get together.
I'm sure they do, man.
Right?
Absolutely. Probably go-kart racing.
I would hope so. A local
this
guy.
Is fun.
Local guy we know, Mike Vogel.
Yes.
Celebrates his birthday today. He was in Cloverfield. He was also in The Help and Under the Dome and a few other films. Nice guy.
I wonder what happened to Under the Dome. And did it wrap up? I actually sort of disconnected from it after a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need
to find
that out.
Did they get out from Under the Dome?
I need to find that out because I had the book.
How much of it did you read?
I didn't. I read the first couple of chapters, and I just never. I got lazy. I didn't go back to it. It's gigantic.
It's literally the heaviest book I've ever tried
it's
to read,
huge.
And I made it about halfway through. And Steve, I think at one point the series was canceled, and then they brought it back. And then it took a serious departure from where the book went.
And then maybe that was it.
And then it just kind of fizzled because I think we talked about it on air one time and some people were updating me on it. And they never quite resolved it.
Oh, I dug the first season, dug the story, and then it just seemed again, it seemed to go off the rails.
Oh, no.
We acted with him, Preston, and the mechanic. Or the mechanic.
Oh, the mechanic.
Yeah, the mechanic.
Or mechanic.
The macaroni.
Not the mechanic, it was just mechanic.
Mechanic.
Yeah,
the
we
pet
did,
boys.
We did the voice part at the beginning, you're correct.
He went to William Tennant, I didn't know that.
He's 39, Calvary. And that's in Bucks County, right?
Yeah.
And then
sick.
last birthday is Billie Lord, and she is the daughter of Carrie Fisher. She's done some acting as well. Granddaughter of Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher.
Yeah, do that again.
It took a while to do that. Yeah, do it one more time, sorry. Just as a tribute to the late Carrie Fisher.
Oh, Billy.
Lord.
That's don't worry about
nah,
it.
Nah, son of a bitch.
She was in Enjoyed Scream it. Queens. So she is 26 today. Those are the birthdays that I have. All right. I got phone calls. Got nothing on my screen here. It's
uh-oh.
Frozen. So I don't know who I'm going to be talking to, but we have a question about Johnny Depp. And his first film role was as a victim in what horror movie? And I'll go to line one here. I don't have your name. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up? This is Joe.
What's your name?
Joe.
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 The mighty Joe. Joe. Do me a favor. Tell me what movie Johnny Depp was in, his first one.
I got Nightmare on Elm Street.
You are
That's
correct.
That's right. He dies in a particularly gruesome fashion.
I got a second, Joe. We are going to give you a pair of tickets for Summerfest Live at Xfinity Live this Saturday, and you can visit XfinityLive.com to learn more. Yeah, he gets sucked up into the ceiling. His blood does.
He gets sucked down into the bed. The claws, Freddy Krueger's claws come around. He falls asleep. He makes the mistake. And then a geyser of blood, Preston, you're right, shoots up to the ceiling. And it's bloody.
All right, so we're going to start with George Clooney. George Clooney made $239 million pre-taxes in the past year, according to the Forbes annual Celebrity 100, the world's highest paid entertainers report. And it is a jaw-dropping amount. Even in the high-flying world of Hollywood, Forbes reports that Clooney actually brought in more money last year than any other actor over an equivalent period ever.
Ever.
Jeez. Much of that cash comes from the sale of the Casamigos Tequila Company to drinks giant Diageo.
Diageo,
is that how you say it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In a deal worth about $1 billion.
This is crazy. So his pre-tax, $239 million?
That is correct, yes.
Jesus.
But don't feel too bad for other Hollywood heavyweights. As Forbes notes, the world's 100 highest paid celebs made a combined $6.3 billion pre-tax over the last 12 months, up 22% over the last year. 11 celebs crossed the $100 million threshold this year. And Clooney wasn't even the top. On top, athlete Floyd Mayweather earned $285 million pre-tax.
$285 million. We had a story, Preston, about the guy who maintains his automobiles, and what he spends on just the maintenance of one of the vehicles is something like $200,000 a year.
For Mayweather?
Yeah, for one of Mayweather's cars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, most of that money for Floyd Mayweather came from that Conor McGregor fight.
Yeah, it was a smart move.
Clooney came in second, and Kylie Jenner rounded out the top three.
God, if that's not devastating.
With $166.5 million, thanks to her successful makeup empire. Judge Judy Shineland was fourth.
And then Snooki, right?
$147 million for Judge Judy.
Do you remember the pictures of her super yacht?
I do, yep. Much of which came from the sale of her TV library for $100 million.
And by the way, those episodes are not really time sensitive. They can air any time.
You're correct. Know? And Dwayne The Rock Johnson was at number five with $124 million.
Jesus.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I just, you know, those...
Why don't they give it to us?
Those amounts are so staggering. I mean, just I would just quit doing everything.
Well, you know what, yeah. Look at Bezos, right?
Did you see? I have a story about him later on. He's the richest man ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
And can't they give that money to us?
But I mean, what do you strive for after that? Immortality?
How do you remain engaged? Yes.
I guess.
Well, you try to put you become.
Are you Dr. Manhattan?
I guess, right.
Is there nothing? Did you go to Mars?
Yeah. I guess you try to put your name on as many things as possible because therein is your closest tendril to immortality amongst the human race as you can get.
Or maybe you take a turn towards philanthropy. Maybe you help people.
Yeah. That's part of why they have so much money is because they don't just say, okay, now I'm not going to do anything.
Right, you got to keep doing stuff.
How much money do you need? You know,
of course.
We need a whole bunch.
You figure that's where they got themselves to, so they're not going to stop when they get there.
Steve, keep fighting the good fight.
Absolutely, man. I will not rest until we have our own volcano that we can have set up our lair inside, Preston.
Dear God. All right.
Jesus.
I was not familiar with this name, but Annabelle Nielsen, an English aristocrat and star of Bravo's Ladies of London, has passed away. She was 49 years old. The details of her death are not available, People notes. In addition to starring in the reality series, I guess it's...
It's like a Real Housewives of London, basically.
She modeled, it says apparently, in addition to starring in the reality series, she modeled and was close friends with Kate Moss and Naomi Campbell, in addition to the prominent fashion designer Alexander McQueen, who committed suicide in 2010.
This hits us personally, Preston, because we're fashionistas, and everyone knows that.
She had said in reference to McQueen at the time, he was my brother, my boyfriend, my soulmate. Most of the time, people called me Mrs. Queen. Quite often, we were sharing a bed. In fact, she was the last person to see the designer alive. Nielsen has struggled with drug addiction in the past, so don't know if that's related to her dying or not. Going back to Johnny Depp, I had a stupid question about him. He has settled his $25 million suit with his former business manager. So that's over now. Deadline reports that the confidential settlement was made after an intense weekend of negotiations, and both sides are apparently satisfied. No word on the details, but their agreement is expected to be signed and approved before a scheduled August 15th trial date, in which Depp and his former managers tussled over claims from the managers that Depp's exorbitant spending led to financial distress and his claims that they defrauded him of millions. So I don't know who's paying who in this suit.
I'm not giving one red cent to those low-down varmints.
Yeah, I'm not sure, and we will probably never hear exactly what went on between the two, but it's not going to go to trial.
They had pictures, close-up pictures of his hands, because he has these this tattoo that he's been redoing. I think it's Slim, then he redid it, so it said Scum, and now it says Scam. 1,500 rings.
Yeah.
Bracelets. It just looks ridiculous.
Looks dirty.
It looks dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty.
He's dirtier. Depp is still facing suits, including an assault suit from a location manager on the upcoming City of Lies, plus a back pay and abuse suit leveled by his former bodyguards. You know, along with fame and success comes a lot of lawsuits.
Absolutely. You know? Especially when you spend the way he does.
Yeah. That's got to suck.
It does suck.
Because it is a time suck, too. You got to spend a lot of time, in deposition.
Look, here's a picture of his
meetings. Yeah, he's just, I don't know, man. It's what he likes to do.
All right, Judy.
Simply saying yes has brought Jennifer Garner success as an actress, businesswoman, and a mother. She tells Good Morning America. She said, the best risk I've ever taken is saying yes. She was offering a glimpse into her road to fame. She said, somebody said, do you just want to go to an audition? And I said, yes. And I got a job understudying at the Roundabout Theater. And
does she say yes or yes?
And one thing led to another. I think it was before the yes days.
Right, right, right.
She said, that has happened so many times in my life where I've been like, yeah, I'll do that. And something will get screwed up. So just say yes.
Are you a yes kind of person in life?
Yeah,
I'll take her. I've taken risks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
To some extent.
My gender switch was a total lark, but I did it.
You did it?
Yeah.
And you're a happy
person. It's working
out.
Even if, like, I don't want to do something, like, when I always feel like I'm missing out, right? So,
right.
Like, I don't like to go fishing in a boat in the ocean. And so I said no to my cousins earlier this summer. And then they all went out fishing. And I was like, man, I wish I would have gone. Even though I hate it. Like, I hate everything about it.
So you have fear of missing out.
Yep.
FOMO.
They all went out and they had pictures and they didn't die.
Yeah.
That was the big thing, is they all came back alive. Right. And I was like, man, oh, man, I wish I would have.
I don't have FOMO anymore.
Yeah.
There was a time where I really did, and I love not doing things now, which is why I think I need a lot of money so I can not do anything
at all. You're like me. You have FOMO, which is fear of not missing out.
Right. But do I say yes to stepping outside of my comfort zone from time to time to try new things? Abso-frickin-lutely.
You have to.
Absolutely.
Or you're not going to grow as a person.
Yep. There's a new season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and I watched one last night with Brian Regan. And Brian Regan brought up a point that I'd never heard before but I thought was really interesting, which was that the moments in your life where you have butterflies in your stomach should propel you forward, because the moments right after the butterflies in your stomach are the ones that are most memorable.
Mm. I only get those when I have to poop now, which kind of sucks.
Yeah. But
no, you don't eat the butterflies.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But nerves lead to adrenaline, and adrenaline leads to memories.
Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
And that's when the nut busting begins.
Those are the things that stick with you. Or nut busting.
I thought that's where you're leading to, Nick. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just
saying. You weren't going there?
No, no. Totally different. But it, listen.
Like if a threesome were on the table.
Interpret
it. I'd get butterflies.
I've got to do this. I've got to do this.
Two girls at the same time.
Two chicks at the same time.
Well, okay, so Marv Albert's one of them.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
No, but anyhow, so saying yes can be a good thing. Yes, the 46-year-old said she as annual yes day. Oh, wait a second. The 46.
What the hell is she talking about? She's deranged, this woman. I can't believe she has kids.
I think she was supposed to say has annual yes day with her kids. So it says as annual yes day. That doesn't make any sense.
Who's reporting this?
So she says she has annual yes day with her kids, Violet, Serafina, and Samuel. She says yes to all of their requests within reason. Okay. She said the toy store or getting ears pierced or buying a puppy, those are not up for grabs.
When does this day occur? Does she say a specific day?
I don't know. She said, all day I say yes. They just love it. It's so fun. She was also promoting a new company, Once Upon a Farm, which sells organic baby food made on farms across the country. So that's an interesting concept, an annual yes day.
Huh, because I could pay off one of the kids to ask her to ask Ben Affleck to be in another Batman movie.
Oh, you could. And she would probably yes to that.
She could not deny.
Uh-huh. Twitter loves it, and also Twitter hates it. Sacha Baron Cohen has always been a provocateur, but the reaction that he's getting with his latest effort, Showtime's Who is America, is notable, even for someone who makes his living trolling people. Who is America also breaks new ground creatively, observers note. Cohen duped and mocked several prominent Republican politicians, including former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, Alabama politician Roy Moore, and former Congressman Joe Walsh. But he also targeted the left, including Bernie Sanders. Along the lines of his previous performance art style pieces like Borat and the Ali G Show, he shows up in disguise and essentially cons his subjects into making more and more outlandish admissions and policy recommendations. The most notable portion of Sunday's premiere involved Cohen masquerading as an Israeli gun enthusiast. In the process, he convinced gun rights advocates and GOP politicians, including former Mississippi Senator Trent Lott, GOP Congressman Matt Gaetz, and Dana Rohrabacher and Joe Wilson to endorse programs training toddlers to use guns.
So it premiered?
Yeah,
I guess it was on Sunday night. I didn't see it.
No, yeah. I watched it, and I didn't really care for it, to tell you the truth.
Really?
Was it funny at all?
Nah.
Because I really used to love the Ali G stuff, and I was a fan. But
see, I've never liked that stuff.
Yeah.
I get uncomfortable.
It was really awkward.
I know some people love that.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
People, but even if it's somebody that I didn't like, I'm like, ugh.
And Preston, I completely understand that, and I feel the same way. I wasn't as much laughing at the dynamic of him broadsiding these people at the absurdity of the character itself, which I found very funny.
Right.
So, but yes, no, I agree completely with what you're saying.
Some people love it, though.
Yeah.
There was one character in particular where he plays a former inmate who found out while he was incarcerated that he is an artist, but however, all his art is done with feces and other excrements.
So it's on Showtime?
It's on Showtime, and I just... And I liked the Ali G show and all. Yeah. And this one, of the half hour that it was on, I don't think I laughed once.
Okay. I have to say, I mean, honestly, I've enjoyed a lot of his stuff immensely, but the his most recent stuff in the box office for the recent films has not been good.
Mm.
Maybe the act is wearing thin.
The one I did like was, I think it might have been Buzz Aldrin he was sitting down with as Ali G, or was another, or an astronaut. He was trying to convince him about landing on the sun.
And that was
like, no, we could go in the winter when it's much colder. And he was like, no, you don't get it. I thought that was pretty funny.
I also thought that movie he did about the, it was supposed to be a Saddam Hussein-ish type character. Was actually pretty funny. The one about the soccer hooligans was not good.
Was it not good?
Not good.
Yeah. The most amusing one I thought was when he sat down with Bernie Sanders, because Bernie's like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like,
and it's multiple characters that Sacha Baron Cohen does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, the subjects objected on Twitter that he spoke to. Palin categorized the show as truly sick, and Walsh also admitted that Cohen got him good.
She says she got a raw dill.
But some others ate it up. So for the third season, Netflix Stranger Things is adding an important new location to the mix, and that is the Star Court Mall.
God, I love this teaser trailer. Did you watch it?
I did, but the disappointing part about it, Steve, is that you're going to have to wait till summer of 2019.
Oh, come on.
It just totally sucks.
That's what the teaser says about the mall. So the Star Court Mall is front and center in a new teaser video released by the streaming service Monday, showing off what stands to be a critical set piece for the forthcoming season. It's in a nostalgic 1980s mall style. It's great. It's so well done. It hits the brand names that really nail, like Walden Books.
Walden Books.
And it's a Gap.
Exactly.
And it's all these spot places on that you knew from that point in time.
Spot on to a commercial you'd see for a mall at that time. Absolutely.
And it highlights several different storefronts, like I said, in the first look at two characters returning. Steve Harrington, who's played by Joe Keery, and newcomer Robin, who's played by Maya Hawke, both of whom work at an ice cream shop known as Scoops Ahoy. And it's a fake place, but apparently it's supposedly a nationwide gigantic. It's like an anchor store.
Scoops Ahoy.
In the mall, yeah. But it closes with three words, coming next summer. So we're not going to see it. That sucks, man.
It does.
And the kids are going to grow a lot. Well, they probably have already filmed it.
Yeah, they have. You know what? Also, I was reading a thing about Netflix. Their stock plummeted because a lot of the shows that people are anticipating, like Stranger Things, have not been on. So their membership sign-ups, because remember, you have to, you know, sign up. It's a service that you pay for, really dropped. I mean, they didn't bring on a lot of new participants, yeah. And so that hit them.
So this is an indicator. They haven't officially announced that it will be summer of 2019. It says it's an indication that not only will it'll be a summer setting for the TV show, but also that it won't be returning till summer 2019, which really sucks. So
the amount of work it goes into creating something that's so faithfully accurate like that is immense.
Yeah.
These guys, the Duffer brothers, do a good job.
When Amanda Seyfried reunited with her ex-boyfriend Dominic Cooper in Mamma Mia, here we go again, her husband was less than thrilled about it. She said, I think he has the same kind of issues that I would have if we were hanging out with his ex-girlfriend from long ago.
Is it Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, or Mamma Mia, Dear God, Not Again?
I think it could be either one. She said, I think it's always like, I'm so in love with this person, so that person must be so in love with her, too.
Shut the fuck up!
She met Cooper while working on the 2008 original. God, that was 10 years ago?
Yes. Do you know that in the new one, Cher plays Meryl Streep's mother, and Cher is only like 4 years older? Meryl Streep.
They dated for 3 years. She married Thomas Sadowski in March of last year. So
I didn't see it. Is it
the original Mamma Mia?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's cute in some ways. It's it would help if you were tremendously gay.
Okay.
That would certainly. But to the most part, it's listen. It's fun on a certain level. It's where they shot it is gorgeous. I mean, I'm a fan of some of the ABBA music, but I don't know.
It's a straight up musical.
Yeah, they break into song. Yeah.
Okay. So we will see what that one's like. Let's see here. Like mother, like daughter, Kim Kardashian took her and Kanye West's daughter, Northwest, to BeautyCon on Sunday. The annual event
BeautyCon
brings together high-flying beauty maven. So naturally, the KKW Beauty founder was there. Kim shared their day on Instagram stories.
Do you think there are a lot of single guys with backpacks at that one, Preston?
Noting that they even planned to wear their hair the same way.
I can't wait till the Palmolive exhibit starts.
At the conference, during an on-stage chat with BeautyCon Media's CEO Maj Mahardra.
Thank you for coming to BeautyCon.
Kim said of North, she's never seen me do anything like this, so this is an exciting day for me.
And to you, gentlemen, your question, there will be no Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Walking Dead star Norman Reedus posed shirtless and donned a face mask in a selfie with his love, Diane Kruger. The pregnant Kruger is celebrating her 42nd birthday. Wow, she's pregnant at 42.
Is he in good shape? He doesn't.
I didn't see it.
He impresses me as. I mean, not
you look
that
a
he's
skinny or.
Well, he's not. He's not a cut up guy. He's a little slovenly.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to what kind of shape because he was a model. You know.
Was he?
Yeah, he did modeling.
I didn't know that. He's got a unique.
Yeah,
look
yeah,
about
yeah.
him.
Women love him.
The pair made their red carpet debut together in January at the Golden Globe Awards, by the way.
So, I love her.
What is she
Diane Kruger. She was in Troy, that not-so-great Brad Pitt movie from a few years back, and she's been in a few other things over the years. I think she was in...
was she in Glorious Bastards?
Glorious Bastards, yeah. I think she's Bridget von Hammersmark or
whatever.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah.
So by face mask, I didn't know what they meant until I saw the picture. It's like one of those beauty masks of the material that you rub on your face.
And while those are a lot of fun and I'm sure do a lot of good work, in photographs, they can't help but coming across as a minstrel show.
Yeah, they look pretty messed up.
Yeah.
All right, so Paris Jackson has nothing to hide. During an Instagram Q&A, the model confirmed that she is bisexual, writing, "That's what you guys call it, so I guess, but who needs labels?"
I'm not happy about this news.
When her revelation made ripples across the media, Jackson lashed out, tweeting that she had been open about her sexuality for years. She said, "Everyone's known for years. I came out when I was 14.
I'm sorry, call me old-fashioned, but love should be between a 40-year-old man and a young boy.
No. WTF, she wrote, alongside a retweeted article about her comment. She said, like, how many pictures are there of me kissing females? Jesus, I can count pics of at least four different girls that leaked in the past 6 years. Why is this a thing?
She's beautiful. She really is.
Beautiful. Yeah, she's...
I would be curious to find out who her parents are.
I know. Steve, I thought of you immediately. A British university professor says that he's found a long-lost screenplay by iconic director Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, I was reading about this.
The play is titled Burning Secret and is an adaptation of a 1913 novel of the same name by Stefan Zweig.
It sounds like it's something akin to Barry Lyndon by way of Lolita.
Okay.
You know?
The story follows an insurance salesman who befriends a boy at a spa resort in order to seduce his married mother. Kubrick wrote the play in 1956.
Should've stopped at the boy.
with Calder Willingham. Nathan Abrams told The Guardian of finding the late director's play. Kubrick aficionados know he wanted to do it,
yeah,
but no one ever thought it was completed. And we now have a copy of this, and it proves that he had done a full screenplay. MGM gave the play the green light.
That's very cool. It's
but
you know,
it was never made.
So it's about 85-90% done, the script. AI was a Kubrick project that Steven Spielberg completed.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, Kubrick had worked on AI fairly extensively, and I like that movie. I think it's good. It's a little long, but it has
Some of it I like.
Kubrick flares in it, but I think it's more representative of Spielberg.
To be determined is if the long-lost play will be resurrected or not.
I am a massive Kubrick fan.
Then one last thing. Fans of Netflix, The Crown, are getting their first glimpse of the new queen. Olivia Colman will play her Royal Majesty in the forthcoming season of The Crown. She replaces Claire Foy, who I've totally fallen in love with, man.
She's phenomenal, but she's aging out of the... I mean, you know, she's too young to play the older...
Yeah, they're moving on to another chapter.
They had considered Jack A.
Who played the Queen in seasons 1 and 2. In the new image, Colman is seen with tea and a slice of toast and marmalade.
This sucks! I hate marmalade!
Tobias Menzies stars
as... Yeah, I know. A terrible name.
Yeah.
Menstrual cycle?
That's what I was thinking.
Are you on the rag?
Are you on your...
Are you riding the red rave? Is your Aunt Fleur in town? Did you get a visit from your friend? Are you bleeding out your... I would say it. Menzies, egad.
Yeah, that's Prince Philip, so that's Tobias Menzies. And Ben Daniels. Oh,
this must be your brother, bleeding anal warts.
Oh, Jesus. Who is he, Nick?
He's in Game of Thrones for a little bit, Preston. He was also in an HBO show called Rome. He played Marcus.
Is there a British Aurelius? Actor or actress alive at this point who's not been in Game of Thrones?
Probably not. Who, no. I'm trying to see who he played in Game of Thrones.
One of the Tullys.
One of the Tullys. Edmure Tully. Okay.
Yeah. And it also speaks to the notion, Steve, that everybody in England is an actor at one point or another. Yeah. Per capita.
We end up benefiting because a lot of the actors who end up in our films are actually really good actors who there's nothing, no work in England, so they come here and end up on shows that they're probably too skilled for.
So Tobias Menzies is in as Prince Philip. Ben Daniels plays
Hershey Squirts.
No, Anthony Armstrong Jones. Alongside Helena Bonham Carter's Princess Margaret. Uh-huh. The gal who played Princess Margaret in the first two seasons is really hot, too.
Yeah.
I like her a lot.
The cast is stellar.
Yeah.
The show, both seasons, stellar. And I'm curious, you know, they can keep... There's certainly...
A lot of material.
Throughout her history, there's just tons of stuff.
Yeah, I got to finish up season two, but I have enjoyed watching it. In the next season of the Royal Drama, which will launch in 2019, we will see all of those people playing those parts. All right, so we're ready for clips. On the Bold Type, three friends work together to publish a global women's magazine while struggling to find their own identities. Here, Megan Fahey talks about the different... societal problems that they address this particular season. Here we go.
There's a lot of really exciting stuff. I mean, we're talking about body image and race and guns and to name a few. Yeah, it's going to be pretty explosive and amazing, but I think that we're all really excited about just sort of doing all of those things in a way that feels accessible, still maintaining a sense of escape and fun.
What the f***?
She sounds thrilled.
A new episode of The Bold Type. airs tonight at 8 on Freedom.
It sounds sensational.
Not Freedom, Freeform. Sorry.
Freeform.
Freedom is the companion station.
George Michael song.
Yeah.
The George Michael station.
Freedom.
We realized after a while we ran out of videos to run, and so we created new programming.
Next clip. All right. 100 survivors are sent back to Earth after a nuclear apocalypse destroyed the surface 97 years before in the series The 100. Here, Eliza Taylor talks about the differences between Australian and American filming.
The sets are bigger, the crew is bigger, like there's, you know, just there's so much more pressure, I guess, you know, like it was definitely a whole new world for me. And I'd been working in the industry, so I like kind of rocked up on set like, you know, it's home, like I get it. And then I was like, oh no, this is different.
What the f*** is this?
A new episode of The 100 airs tonight, 8 p.m. on CW, by the way.
That's just flat out prattling. I don't even understand what she was talking about.
I've never watched the show, so I don't.
I've seen a few. And it actually is critically well received and has a loyal fan base. It's a, you know, dystopian future sort of thing.
I like that. I love those that setting. All right, and that's what I have for you entertainment wise this morning, but I'm not done.
No. Given?
I want to give something away. We got the screening of Mission Impossible Fallout, and it is coming up Monday. And it will be at the UA King of Prussia. And how would you like to go? 7 o'clock is when you need to be there by. So let's take callers 10, 11, and 12. And I will give you those passes. 215-263-WMMR. Callers 10, 11, and 12. Get on board. We have a Not Your Average listener, actually a duo, stopping by this morning. It's going to be closer to 9 o'clock. And we are going to need your help in determining whether or not they win a cash prize. So we'll find out together who that is a little bit later on. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Hey, podcasters, who wants to go to a movie premiere for free? We'll email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com right now if you would like to win a pair of passes to Mission Impossible Fallout on Monday, July 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. Remember, you'll have to arrive by 7 o'clock to check in and get those seats. Email now to enter. Thanks for listening.
I want to thank our buddy Matt O'Donnell over at 6ABC.
Yes.
He gave a nice plug this morning on the air. to a little sit down that he and I had. It came by last week. Matt does this podcast called the Travel Mug Podcast and just goes to people that he finds interesting or wants to shed a little more light on and does a podcast. And
so you're sitting with him for a while.
Yeah, he gave me a nice plug and played some video this morning on the 6ABC broadcast. And yeah, we sat down. We talked about drumming because he plays drums. Matt and I have a lot in common. We both are avid golfers. We are both drummers.
You're buds.
We're buddies. And
you're both single mothers.
So no, I don't know about that. But but we sat down. We talked about drumming. And we also talked about my hearing loss and tinnitus.
Is he getting that?
From all that. He thinks that he might be starting to get the effects of tinnitus. So we had a nice long discussion about it. We had a fun talk. It's not all serious. And then we had a little jam session. I put in my earplugs at the end, and he brought in a couple of drums, and we jammed out for a little bit.
Cool.
So that's being made available today on iTunes and Google Play. He's going to put it up on the 6ABC Facebook and Twitter as well. So I just want to thank him for that. I didn't know he was going to plug it on the air.
No,
I thought it was going to live off of 6ABC, but that was cool of him to do that. So I wanted to give that a plug, too.
Nice.
Who here in the studio is on their period?
Nick, nobody.
Steve?
Yeah.
No.
No? Ladies? We have some ladies in here. Anybody? Yeah, we have one. Listen, the reason I brought it up that casually is because some of the stigma is continuing to dissipate amongst women who are at that time of the month. And Steve sent me this article from the New York Post.
I saw it today. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I never thought of this. Apparently, some parents are having the idea to throw a period party for their teenage daughters.
What?
When they have their first period. Yeah.
What do you think about that? Because they serve red velvet cake, which is awesome.
For years, we talked about this, that there was that commercial where it was like where the young girl, you know, got her period for the first time and her parents were like, well, let's celebrate. We'll go for ice cream. There was some sort of commercial.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
That's creepy.
Back in the day where they were pretty much celebrating it.
Okay.
Hey, why don't we go for some ice cream or something?
Well, yeah, Steve, actually, the party favors include packs of tampons, sanitary towels, uterus-shaped cakes, and you know, cakes that will be red and
I'm sure red velvet, right? So the whole purpose of sort of diminishing, as you said,
The stigma.
Having fun with it. Years to come.
Listen, it's not fun. I know. And part of the reason they're doing this, Kathy, is because, and listen, I have a young daughter. She's 11 years old. We're going to be getting there. We're going to be getting there soon. And they're, girls can be scared of this.
Well, so I
look
think,
at Carrie, for Christ's sake.
She was vilified.
She freaked out, absolutely. She saw what she did to her prom.
I think that
burned the whole goddamn thing down.
That part of it is that for sure. But then there are also, I think, the girls that go a little bit later. So, like, you're almost waiting. Wait, everybody has it. All your friends have it. And you're the last one. So then when it comes, that would be when you would get the cake. You finally got it. You can join the rest of them.
Right. So at that level, President, I guess, though it's much less. Less painful and just more surface stuff. Pubes, getting your pubes is sort of a quasi rite of passage at a certain level.
For a guy, it's nothing that you have to clean up. Like
amongst young ladies, Kathy, that's sort of unspoken. You're late to the party, so to speak.
Yeah, like I was late to the party, but so at that point, I fully understood it, and I was okay with the fact that I didn't, because everyone was like, "You don't want this. Like, happy that you don't have it for so long."
But Steve, you're right about that. I didn't think about that because I was late getting my pubes.
Yeah.
And I was self-conscious about it.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. It was even like armpit hair.
How late?
I was late getting that. Case, I don't remember the age. Maybe eighth grade or something like that.
Oh, dude, I didn't have armpit hair until I was well into high school.
What about pubes?
Pubes. All right. So I sprouted my first pubes in sixth grade.
Do you remember when you got your first pube? I did.
Oh, I was like,
oh my God.
There it is.
It's there.
But
that was in eighth grade when I got my first pube, not armpit hair.
But also like, so I had my first pube, but again, I didn't fully sprout until I was well into high school.
The penis just didn't grow.
Yeah.
That's weird when your pubes are longer than your...
Yeah.
I will tell you this. It was embarrassing enough for me that I would not... There was a guy who would film us for money in town.
Would you shut up?
No. Actually, I was kind of right on schedule with that. But it's still something that everyone... I guess, whatever level, you're going through the formative years.
Yeah,
if you perceive yourself as being... a late bloomer or whatever, it's going to wreak mental havoc with
you. Breast growth as well for women, that's a thing.
I'll tell you what I was terrified of for a long time, tampons.
Listen, okay, I can imagine that. I
couldn't swallow them.
When I was a kid, that's not, no, you don't swallow.
Oh, you don't?
No. They'll choke.
They're not marshmallows?
When I was a kid and I was probably in maybe like third or fourth grade or whatever, my sister was going through that. She's older than me. And I remember, man, we were like coming home from church or something like that. And in the car, I found a little instructional, I guess it comes with the tampons or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
And it showed the diagram on how to use it. I'm looking at this, I'm like,
you do
what is this? We need to go right back to church.
And I'm like,
You will not believe what your daughter's doing.
I didn't say anything, but I knew that this was for my sister. And I'm like, I'm like, what is this all about? And then I'm like, she has to do that?
Oh, well, and so the worst part for me was swimming because I was a diver, you know? So once I was old enough where I got this, I then for a week would not go swimming. So,
well,
you know,
sharks.
But my mom was like, listen, you have to learn how to do this. Like, I can help you. I can show you. I was like, get the hell out of here.
You're not were you in?
Showing me.
Sure. Yes. And your mom is has a, but I mean, still, I'm sure you're scared crapless and uncomfortable, and it's got to be weird. So maybe there's
blood.
Maybe to this point,
well,
the party, though it is kind of weird, if that helps, then maybe that's a good thing.
I'm not opposed to it. Yeah. Period parties, if you're just tuning in, that's what we're talking about.
I'm not opposed to it, but why? I don't
Well,
just
then I think you need
silly.
To throw pube parties.
I just talked about that.
Yeah,
Preston, the pube party has to be part of it, too.
That's not a bad idea.
Kath, what grade were you in when it finally came?
I was like well into, like my friends got it around middle school. Like I was definitely into high school, like maybe ninth grade, end of ninth grade.
Okay.
Okay, so two things real quick. Apparently, Bert Kreischer threw a period party for his daughter. A bunch of people are texting and letting us know that. So I was trying to find the video, but he did it about a month.
We
got to
see if we can get Bert.
My guess is there was booze.
He posted, I doubt it, for like a 12 or 13-year-old daughter. Yeah. But
for him.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I was looking for the video. I don't know. And then secondly, Kathy, about the tampon versus pads. I had a friend in college. This was, you know, she was 18, 19, 20 years old who was very religious and found, and I'm going to word this delicately, but a tampon was almost like losing her virginity.
Too invasive.
Wow.
Too invasive. And so she used pads throughout college.
Listen, once I figured it out, that was the way to go. But I still I have a friend of mine has two kids. She has gone through childbirth and she still can't use a tampon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, why?
She just like, it freaks her out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But she was able to push two kids out, you know?
So my friend, when she was growing up, and I thought this was weird at the time, when she shaved her legs for the first time, her mom was there with a camera taking
pictures.
That
was a huge deal. My mom didn't want me to shave my legs because she said, once you do it, that's it. Like forever.
What will the other Sasquatches think?
Listen, but I remember the exact first time that I shaved my legs because I was with two other girls. They were older than me and we were going, I want to say like roller skating or something. And we were in their car getting ready to go.
We need romantic music.
No. It wasn't like that. And the girls, we all like had our legs up on the seat. And I remember looking at my legs and being like, oh my God, there it is. My hair on my legs is way too long for this. And they lived right down the street from me. I ran home, shaved my legs, went back and went roller skating
with
my friends.
Your legs are so hairy.
You have very hairy legs. What kind of creature are you? Do you want to be taken to our leader? Had you had any instruction? Did your mom help you? Did you just go in with the razor and shaving cream? And you pretty much, you know how it works,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I knew how it works.
It's not like you need an instruction.
My mom just said, listen, once you do it, that's it. Like, you can never stop. Then, you know, it's just going to continue to grow.
What about your armpits? Shaving
that
those.
I don't remember.
Not as big a deal?
No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. A lot more surface area on the legs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's interesting. You remember we've had this discussion before, not about period parties that are apparently becoming more prevalent. Instead of throwing more peas
period
in
parties
there.
Are prevalent.
Yeah. But you remember we've had women call in and say that when they had their first period, that their mother smacked them in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, that
it was some kind of a religious based thing, or it's
wasn't that
like
the Italians
for? Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was because you called gravy sauce.
No. Well, that's another issue as well. No, but this, there's some kind of archaic thing where you have to cause pain or something like that. I don't know what it is, but it was strange.
You gotta be cool to be kind.
Yeah, in the right measure.
I'm bad, so bad.
Let me go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you for calling in, Stephanie. What's up?
So I'm 39.
9 years old, and my first memory of my period was my mom getting me a dozen roses and my parents and my brothers, because I have an older brother, younger brother, taking me out to dinner. So I think these period parties, I don't know about a party, but great because, you know, my first memory of my period is getting flowers. It's not a horrid, oh, my God, I'm bleeding and cramps. And, ugh. It's a great, it's a, actually a good memory of, you know, becoming a woman.
That's pretty cool. That's so that set in your mind as a, listen, it's the thing itself is not so thrilling, but you weren't traumatized by its arrival.
Exactly. And I plan on doing it with my daughter. I mean, she's 4, but yeah. I plan on doing it with my daughter because, you know, I have friends that are all have kids that are getting their period and I'm sharing my story with them. And they're like, oh, well, that's great because they're all like, oh, my first period was horrible and everything like that. But my memory is great. And
so, Stephanie, you think you're going to do like that? You're going to do like a dinner? You seem to not be down with the party concept.
I don't know about the whole period party. I mean, everybody's making parties for anything.
I know. I know. We were talking about that. It's like it's almost too many parties. But I think a nice dinner with the flowers, I think that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Right. And I said, that's what I plan on doing. It was a great memory for me. And I plan on keeping going with my daughter.
Yeah. When you have to hire a clown, you've gone too far.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, I think maybe the term party is a bit much. It might not mean inviting 25 people over. It may just be, you and a couple of friends and your family. And that's it. You know, I don't know.
Because, you know, there's going to be period party planners that you're going to have to hire.
Yeah. By the way, last year, 12-year-old Brooke Lee from Florida made headlines after her mom, Shelley, threw her a period party. Lee was given a chocolate cake decorated with red icing as well as a pizza, pads, and tampons. Shelley revealed that she organized the event after Lee confessed that she was worried about starting her period. She said, I wanted to make this event a little more fun. Later, Lee's 17-year-old cousin Autumn Jenkins shared images of the event on Twitter. Caption, Brooke started her period today, and my family is super extra.
Super extra. Yeah. Not just super extra.
Super extra.
As you go through puberty, did you get acne?
Yeah, but not bad. I got zits. I got pimples.
Anything like acne, though, makes you freak, though, right? Your body's changing, and you just freak.
Sure, absolutely.
And did you have an uncomfortable period of time a la Peter Brady where your voice is cracking and changing?
Not that I remember.
Or were you always this...
I was just
mellifluous.
My issue were pubes and being skinny.
Okay.
Because I was really like borderline frail. I was so skinny. You know, I took liver pills to try and gain weight.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And this was up until I was about like 18. And then once I started drinking, I didn't have to worry about being skinny anymore.
You had to run around in the shower to get
Budweiser took care of that.
Budweiser, you created a monster.
I was drinking Stein.
Stein.
And in fact, this was last year, a charity called Bloody Good Period and the Cup Effect teamed up to host a huge period party. This is in the UK. The group said, over the course of an evening, we'll cover all you need to know about the cups, fannies, and periods. By the way, they call the front fannies over in England.
Oh, really?
Do they?
Yes. How backwards.
Yep. About cups, fannies, and periods in a small group of awesome, like-minded babes, said the group. So they had a big event where a lot of people could come to it.
Listen, I guess this is better than the alternative. And also at that age, if you get it at the wrong time,
it's a little devastating.
Like at school or school. A la Carrie where, mm-hmm.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because the little boys, they don't know. And they're,
the worst they do is crap their pants.
Yeah. Which, maybe they should do that in honor.
Crap party.
Yeah. Let me go to Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Good morning. Rachel, you're on the air. Are you there, Rachel?
Hi, I'm here.
Okay. What's up, Rachel?
Oh, nothing.
That's great.
Here.
It's nice talking to you. No, did you call for a reason?
I was calling about the period topic and how I first got mine and everything.
Okay, so what was your experience like?
So I was over my aunt's house. Well, she's my mom's best friend. Always called her my aunt. And we were playing hide and go seek or tag or one of those games.
Some childhood game.
I went to the bathroom.
Stratego.
Saw that it happened. Didn't realize it happened. Went back to playing tag. Came back in a little bit later and realized that's what it was. So I told my aunt. She called my mom, who only lives a couple blocks away.
she came over and they're crying in the kitchen and they're like, oh my God, she's a woman now and everything like that. So I was mortified. So I'm probably 11 or 12 years old.
Yeah, I think if you see your mom and your aunt crying even if they're crying for joy, if it's a rite of passage or whatever, it's still going to be alarming, especially since you're bleeding, they're crying, and you have to cut your game of tag short.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, they're like, it's no big deal, but they're crying. And I'm like, are you sure?
They seem to be upset. Yeah, no, that'd be hard to deal with.
Isn't it weird, though, at 11 years old to be referred to as a woman at that point? You know what I mean?
I was referred to as a woman at 11.
Look at that little guy.
There was that guy who used to film us.
Yeah, right.
Now, your name is Velma. Now, dance for me, you little monkey.
No, but, I mean, you're entering biologically into womanhood. But,
yes.
But to be 11 years old and be referred to, you are now a woman. Wait, no, I'm not. I'm a kid.
Do you consider yourself a man when at the point
when
of puberty?
I got
puberty?
My pube? No.
Yeah, no. Look at me. Mother, I'll be making the decisions in the house now.
Right, exactly.
I have hair on my dong.
Right.
I was out there playing tag, and I'm like, well, now I'm a woman? I was just a kid
five
seconds ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange. Yeah,
exactly.
At that point, you can technically get pregnant and have a child. So that's why they consider it, you know, you being a woman. However, yes, you are still a child.
Yeah.
You just have your period.
Yeah. I'm going to go next to Lynn on the phone. Hi, Lynn. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
When I was 13 in middle school, I got my period. So I went to the school nurse because obviously my pants and panties were a mess. So
yeah.
The room was a common place where all the kids that were sick, and then there was a bathroom off of it. The school nurse's desk was right there. So she gets on the phone with my mom while I'm in the bathroom with all the boys sitting there that were sick.
Oh, man.
Says, oh, could you please bring your daughter a change of clothes because she just got her period.
Going to
the freaking drain because now, like, all the boys, when I came out, knew, like, I had my period.
Why would she do that?
How old were you? What grade, Lynn? What grade was this in?
It was, like, when I was in, like, eighth grade. Oh. I was, like, mortified.
Of course.
Oh, man. The only thing saving was when I came home, it must have been near Valentine's Day. My mom come up to my room with this little heart candle. It said, I love you on it. And she sat down on the bed next to me and she said, here, I've been saving this for you. And now that you're a woman and had the little talk with me.
That's sweet, right? That's a sweet memory attached to something that was rather embarrassing.
Yeah.
I wonder at a certain age, Kathy, maybe you can answer this. Do you start arming a young lady with
to carry with them? You know what? I didn't. I don't know. I guess some people, if you are aware that it's coming soon, you know, or you think it's going to happen, it might be a good idea. But like, nah, that wasn't something that I
next to your Hello Kitty thermos.
How would you know? I mean, just age?
Yeah, age maybe. And you wouldn't because, like I said, all of my friends were getting it, and I was like 2 years after them. So I would have been carrying around a pad for 2 years.
Can you have some people will have the chicken pox party. Can you have a menstrual party? And
oh, my God. I forgot about the chicken pox party.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's another party where you try to get your kids sick with chicken pox.
Which is stupid.
To get
by
it out
the way,
of the
you
way.
You don't want to do that. Yeah. The doctors recommend you not do that.
So I should not attend the gonorrhea party we're having in our neighborhood?
That's totally up to you.
Yeah.
Menstrual party, you'd be like a bunch of cats attacking each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, this is kind of sweet, I guess. I got a text from a gal that says, I unfortunately got mine at a field hockey practice in high school, but my loving sister pushed me into the mud, faking to fight me so I wouldn't be embarrassed.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So she got mud all,
so
over.
Got mud all over. That's
is that
actually,
not cool?
That's really cool. Man.
I wish I had a sister who pushed me in the mud.
Yeah. Right. So people would know you had your period.
What did you have to spread barbecue sauce in her eyes?
You got to sell it, man.
You got to sell
it. Yes.
Did you have to back your car over? I was trying to make a point.
What is this? It says, my mother wouldn't let us shave our legs until we got our period.
Wow.
My sister was so excited to shave her legs that she ripped a 3-inch long piece of the skin off her leg in the process. Unfortunately,
that was
a huge indication to all of her friends that she had just gotten her period. So they all let the entire class know. Bucks Cove for life. That's what it says.
That's wow. how they do it in Bucksco.
Yeah. Well, these are realities that I'm going to be facing soon. Someday I'll have my period. No, my yes. daughter's getting older. Casey, you've got a couple that you're
yes,
going to have
to.
Yes. You'll be a woman soon.
Yeah, it's not something I've really thought about. I just figured my wife will handle all
she
that.
She will. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, Rochelle will be cool about it, too.
Yeah, I think also, but you have an understanding of how it's going to impact her. And I think the notion of making it, of trying to understand that and make it a more of a rite of passage and a pleasant experience than shocking the hell out of them.
Yeah, exactly. And what I hope doesn't happen is that she doesn't have the same issues that Rochelle has with that, which is very painful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. She has a rough go at it every time, and it sucks, man.
Awful.
My wife.
It is terrible.
She's got, debilitating.
Really?
Yeah, it's really bad. She's gone to the doctor several times to try to figure something out.
Yeah, wow. I get
her
the same
and Mike
way.
Are working on it. What's that?
I get the same way. And, yeah. And I always have my entire life. It led up for a little while, like maybe, I want to say, in my 30s, but then... Fortunately, it all came back. Yay.
Yay.
Mom.
Like endometriosis or something?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't go to the doctor. But anyway.
You know, needles.
No.
Yeah.
Needles. I don't like that.
But the
mood
swing.
My witch doctor told me to swing a dead rooster over my head.
The mood swing situation is the worst of it all.
Oh, so, but you're always so pleasant. Yeah.
No. Trust me. It is the worst ever.
Okay.
Do you feel it getting away from you?
Yes. Yes.
And there's nothing
absolutely
hormonally,
know.
But you're fighting what that's got to be very frustrating.
I've said this before to you guys. Like I something will happen and I'm like, I just get so angry and then I'm like, oh, right. Like it kicks in. I'm like,
okay,
that's why. But it doesn't help. You just know.
Hormonal imbalance.
You just know why
you just
you're a
know.
Bitch.
Same thing with me. Like once a month, my pubes grow in extra thick and once a week and I know I'm going to be good. Don't want to deal with me.
No. Let me go to Morgan. Hi, Morgan. Good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, Morgan?
I have a story I wanted to share. I am one of three girls, and when we each got our period at different stages, my mom took us out for a special woman dinner.
Ah.
Her and her girlfriend, Sue, used to go out for drinks and fried ice cream. That was their girls' night. So she sort of gave us our own first girls' night. And we, of course, had virgin daiquiris.
Okay. You said drinks. I'm like,
right. Yeah, we had alcohol. Yeah, went
now.
To Chippendales and then smoked some meth.
Morgan, where are you in line with your sisters? You middle, youngest, oldest,
I'm
what?
Oldest.
You're the oldest. You had to go through this first.
Yeah, I sort of paved the way.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess that's. But you're able to then usher the others through because you've gone through the experience.
Well, that leads into a whole other line of stories, but yes.
Yeah, but well, that's cool.
What else she did? She did rings for us. They're more of queen crown rings instead of princess tiara rings. Huh. And she said, made it very like, this is important. This is special. And you're not a princess anymore. You're a queen.
Ah.
And now she got them bigger. So we had ring sizers on like the plastic jelly underneath of it. And now we wear them when we have our.
Oh, gosh. Oh, do you?
Yeah,
my dad gave me a little tiara. I remember when I had my first pube.
Wow.
And, he said, you're a queen. Now.
You're a queen now.
Hey, Morgan.
If you know what's good for you.
Morgan, do you have kids?
I actually am expecting, and I plan on doing the ring, princess or queen ring with my daughters.
That's what I was curious if you were going to carry on that tradition.
That's taking a traumatizing thing and making it more pleasant. That's right. Very cool.
Thanks, Morgan. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
Because remember, just watch Carrie and see how bad it can go.
It can go bad. But I didn't know they were starting to have period parties. Apparently, that is the case. So I'm sure there are many traditions out there involved with that rite of passage, if you will.
Do you think this is something that was started by the DJs to get extra work?
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean the club DJs?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Darude's birthday today, by the way.
Is we it missed really?
Yes. Darude Sandstorm?
Yes.
Oh, well, then we have to play that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's a classic.
There we go. All the young ladies on the dance floor are having their periods.
All right, we got to take a break, friends. Thank you for your calls. We'll come back in a moment. If that wasn't weird enough, we'll get to the bizarre file when we return. We have Not Your Average Listeners coming in this morning as well, so we're going to need your help with that. Stay close. We'll be back in a moment.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Honey Tiger. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Honey Tiger, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
They're in the form of the Bizarre File. Let's get it started.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Delilah's, the most beautiful and talented performers will be competing for the coveted Diamond G-String Award at Delilah's, and that is tomorrow, hosted by Chanel West Coast, and you can visit Delilah's.com for details. Authorities have determined that an Air China flight's sudden, terrifying 21,000-foot descent was caused by a co-pilot smoking an electronic cigarette mid-flight, which triggered a series of events that led to the deployment of oxygen masks and, in turn, backlash against the pilot. Chinese investigators announced their findings 3 days after the incident, which occurred aboard a flight from Hong Kong to Dalian minutes after its takeoff. In the preliminary investigation, the co-pilot was found to be smoking an e-cigarette. Now, the unnamed co-pilot tried to, quote, hide the fact that he was smoking in the cockpit and attempted to turn off a fan to prevent smoke from reaching the passenger's cabin without telling the captain, but accidentally turned off the air conditioning unit instead. And this blunder caused oxygen levels in the cabin to fall and triggered the release of oxygen masks from the cabin ceiling, which passengers photographed and started sharing on social media. Crew members were then quickly forced to drop the plane by 21,000 feet before returning to a safe cruising altitude.
Oh, my God.
The flight.
Could you imagine that you're a passenger? You're dropping 21,000 feet?
The flight went on to land without incident. Now officials are reportedly investigating.
Sorry about that. That little smoking thing going on.
They're investigating the incident in greater detail, reviewing the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder for more information. The incident continues to trend on social media, with some commentators demanding harsh punishment and the revocation of the pilot's flight license.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Mm-hmm. Pretty wild footage. You'll see it on the news this morning. There were 23 people injured yesterday when lava crashed through the roof of a sightseeing boat off of Hawaii's Big Island.
Wow.
The tour boat takes people to see lava from the still erupting Kilauea volcano as it plunges into the ocean. And it was an explosion caused by the 2,000-degree lava going into the ocean water that sent the molten rock through the boat's roof. They called it a lava bomb, Casey. And one woman was in serious condition with a broken thigh bone. Like this huge chunk of lava came through the roof of the boat.
So did everyone enjoy that? It's kind of cool. Not everyone gets to see that, an actual flaming ball of lava careen through the roof of the boat.
So she has a broken.
You're on a special day.
She has a broken thigh bone, and 22 others suffered burns and scrapes.
That explosion, the video of the explosion that sent that stuff hurling, is amazing.
Officials have warned about getting too close to lava entering the ocean, but several companies operate boat tours to view it.
And I would get on one. It's too cool.
Yeah.
It's too cool.
A Texas woman was arrested and accused of biting off an acquaintance's nose and then swallowing it.
An acquaintance?
What? Yeah. Like a large chunk of her nose. She bit it off and swallowed it. Jessica Collins.
Yeah, that's her. What happened there?
Has been charged with assault and bodily injury. The woman whom Collins is accused of attacking said that she's afraid to leave her bedroom. Her name is Tatiana. She said, it's where I feel safe. Tatiana says that she went out to a bar on Wednesday night with her next door neighbor and Collins, whom was temporarily staying with the neighbor. She said that they returned to her home after the bar and Collins demanded more alcohol and cigarettes. Well, according to Tatiana, which told Collins to leave her property, she said the woman jumped on her and pulled her to the ground by her hair. Collins then allegedly bit off a large piece of Tatiana's nose and swallowed it.
Dude. I want more alcohol and cigarettes, or I will chew your nose off and swallow it.
She said, I didn't have time to react to push her away. I think I was just trying to fight back, but I couldn't. All I could remember was the taste of blood in my mouth.
Think of the kind of chewing you'd have to do to chew a piece of someone's nose off.
She says she passed out several times, didn't realize her nose was injured until she was in the ambulance. She said, I started calling my husband when I was in the ambulance, and I was screaming, saying, I don't have a nose.
Wow.
Doctors told Tatiana that she will need urgent plastic surgery, but she doesn't have health insurance. And the surgery must happen within 2 weeks, or it will become more complicated.
Ah, gross.
Yeah, so friends of her have established a GoFundMe account to help with the cost of the surgery.
No chance of having that piece of nose pass through the system and reattaching it at the other end?
I'm not a doctor, so I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
Collins was released on bond Monday, by the way. How messed up is that?
That's horrific.
Well, here's a tale of survival. Angela Hernandez sat injured and dazed for 7 days on a small craggy beach at the bottom of a cliff along Central California's picturesque coastline.
Yeah.
Surviving on water from her wrecked Jeep's radiator, anxiously hoping that someone would find her. And help came on Friday when a pair of hikers spotted the missing 23-year-old Oregon woman calling for help from the remote Monterey County beach in Big Sur after she vanished a week earlier while driving from Portland to her sister's home in Southern California.
It's a miracle.
Her sister, Isabella, said, my sister's alive. She's talking. She's still trying to come to understand everything. The case captured widespread attention due to the unusual circumstances of Hernandez's disappearance, leaving many questioning why and how she could have vanished. The last clues came from a surveillance camera at a gas station that showed her vehicle south of Carmel on July 6th and then a mysterious ping on a cell phone tower in Santa Cruz County. A couple who were camping at Big Sur said they spotted Hernandez's car on Friday when they were hiking on a remote beach. The campers, Chelsea and Chad Moore, found Hernandez a short time later. Chad Moore stayed with Hernandez on the beach while his wife ran back to the campground to call for help. Angela Hernandez told rescuers she swerved to avoid hitting an animal that morning along the winding stretch of Highway 1, which is twisty and filled with cliffs.
It's gorgeous, but if you're not paying attention, you can die.
She lost control of her vehicle, a Jeep Patriot, and plunged 200 feet over a cliff. Wow. She miraculously survived the wreck and was conscious and breathing, laying outside of the Jeep when she was discovered by the hikers Friday. Crews from multiple jurisdictions quickly began complicated operations of hoisting the young woman to safety, so she must have been injured. In fact, she had a concussion and injured her shoulder, and they airlifted her to the hospital. She's in fair condition.
Down a 200-foot cliff, and that's what she has? Yeah. It's amazing.
And she survived by drinking water from the radiator of her vehicle.
Wouldn't that have radiator fluid in it? How is that not lethal?
I don't know if it had, antifreeze. Maybe you don't use it out there in California. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
So. And then finally, the British sports car that crashed into a tree on Saturday had been owned for 1 day and represented a dollar loss in the hundreds of thousands. In a Twitter post, the police called the vehicle a McLaren 720S.
Oh, my God.
Which they described as costing around $300,000.
Beautiful car.
1 day.
1 day.
After the crash, the driver was taken to the hospital with injuries that thankfully were not life-threatening, asserting that the wreck destroyed the vehicle and occurred because of speeding.
Hello, Allstate.
The tweet called it a reminder to slow down. Otherwise, police said it's going to cost you. On its website, the McLaren company said its S20S model is a supercar, lighter, stronger, and faster, embodying our, quote, relentless quest to push the limits of possibility. So you need to make sure you know how to drive one of those cars before you start to drive it like that.
Even if you think you know. When you got, what was it, the Lamborghini you got behind the wheel?
Yeah.
And you've been driving for many, many years.
Yes.
That is a whole other level of driving.
Whole other gear.
Yeah.
Yep. So you got to be careful. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning, my friends. Hey, we have a Not Your Average Listener coming up a little bit, and we have a new sponsor for the Not Your Average Listener. It's Kraft School Bus.
Yes.
Or do you pronounce it Kraft?
No, it's Kraft.
Kraft School Bus, spelled K-R-A-P-F. And they are actually hiring bus drivers in Chester County right now. I'll get you some more of the details a little bit later on.
Anytime we ever did a field trip anywhere when we were in school, it was always Kraft buses.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
We will have those guests in a little while. We'll give you the heads up on that. Let's take a quick break. Come back in just a moment or two. Reminding you, our Belly Flop Championship is Thursday, 2 days away at Valley Beach Poolside, Valley Forge, and it's free of charge. Come out there from 6 to 8 p.m. We'd love to see you. We'll be back in just a moment.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
I got a text yesterday. I forgot what we were talking about. I think it might have just been random. And somebody had said, and I jotted it down in case we wanted to to talk about it. But it said, can we please talk about this black Lexus that has been sitting off of 76 at the Lincoln Drive exit for the last 3 weeks?
Wait a second.
I haven't seen it. I don't go that way.
You'd mentioned this yesterday, and I did not put two and two together. Yes, it's right when you come off.
Is it on Lincoln Drive or 76?
You're starting to head off on, you're heading off on Lincoln Drive, you know. So as you come off 76 and you're heading east.
Okay.
And right. So you're heading down, and then you go right to Ridge, and you go left either to go back around or get on Lincoln Drive.
Okay.
And then at that point, there's usually like a police officer will kind of sit in that area. But there's a car, and I have noticed this car, and I didn't put two and two together. It's that car. It's been there forever.
So it says at least 3 weeks, so maybe it's been there even longer. I don't know.
At a certain point, doesn't the, I don't know the department, but don't they
the
come
around? The department of cars that no one knows where they came from.
Well, hey, don't you remember John Street, when he was mayor, one of the things that he wanted to do was to rid the city of the abandoned cars.
Yes.
And it was like, Steve, the number was like 50,000 abandoned cars. Mm-hmm. It was like a ridiculous amount.
Well, this goes to something, and I've had it happen periodically over the years. How long is a car allowed? Like, for example, in a residential area, how long is a car how long are you allowed to have a car sit unmoved or untouched?
I think until someone complains.
Maybe. Until someone complains? Is that the deciding factor? Or can you just blow it up?
Well, don't they? No, usually the police will come by and put a sticker on it.
Okay.
It says you must move it by, you know, this, or you got to move this car, it's going to get towed.
Okay. Is it like
I've seen those before.
Is it like an old black Lexus? Or
It seems to be somewhat newer, actually. So if you want a Lexus, go grab it up.
I like this. So I saw this story in Florida. It's in Palm Beach Road in West Melbourne, Florida. And apparently someone left a couch on the sidewalk there, and it's been there for several weeks, and it started drawing attention. And the reason it started drawing attention is residents started accessorizing it by putting a throw rug, a coffee table, curtains, a house plant, throw pillows, and it's hashtag the couch on social media. And apparently a candidate for the council had recorded an interview with his campaign manager on the couch.
No.
Which is a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
So they've set it up, and now it's becoming a little living room sitting out on the sidewalk.
Like, Nick, you had sort of a little with your neighbor, and it was you guys resolved it about, you know, not that the car had been abandoned in front of your house, but a lot of times you wonder, you know, like stuff like that. If someone leaves a piece of garbage out or something on their front lawn, do you have any sway over that, or how?
I don't know. But what I would like to see happen with this Lexus is maybe if somebody goes and puts like mud flaps on it.
Sure.
Or somebody, you know, you can put louvers if you can find some old school things. Yeah.
Fake gas pumps.
A bra.
Yeah.
You know,
something. Yeah.
You know, let's accessorize a little bit.
Well, this is actually a nice hilarious now. We're looking at a picture of it.
Yeah. Of the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see people accessorize like dead animals. I've seen like get well soon. Balloons attached to dead deer and stuff like that.
Or dead squirrels.
Dead squirrels, dead raccoons. Or there was one that said free cat.
Free cat.
There's one. The one I love is that somebody took a G.I. Joe and put with the rifle with his leg up on the squirrel as if he had bagged the squirrel.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Oh,
but, man. You know, with dead animals, I remember seeing, it wasn't too long ago, I saw a dead deer on my way to the shore. And then a few days later, I'm coming back, and he was still there. I'm
but
like,
he was
right.
Sitting in a Lexus.
He was sitting in a brand new Lexus. It's beautiful. But I thought, how many days has to go by before?
Oh, I think
these are general questions we want answered.
Oh, I think some of them just sit there and completely rot.
Here's an answer. I'm sorry to interrupt, Kathy. A couple of texts are coming in saying the inspection has to be expired in order for it to be considered abandoned.
the inspection has to be expired.
So if they look at the sticker and it's past its date, then
yeah, officially. But even on like the side of a highway or
that's
not
a road hazard.
That's illegal parking, I would imagine.
Yeah, like that's got to, there's got to be something there for them to be able to go in and remove it. So I saw this article yesterday, and it's there apparently has been a chair that's sitting on the boardwalk in Sea Isle, and it's been there for about a year.
Stop it!
And people actually, it's a beach chair. It's just an abandoned beach chair. And they have never removed it. They decorate it for all of the holidays. And the article was that for the first time in a year, it actually had been vandalized. And like people were, I mean, there's...
They were outraged?
Yes. And there's like all these pictures with law enforcement, vacationers, everybody taking pictures with this beach chair.
So for an entire year until it made headlines... It probably wasn't harassed. It wasn't touched. It was kind of fun. Yes. And then all of a sudden, once it got real attention, then somebody decided to be a douchebag about it.
And vandalize it.
That's too
bad. Bastards.
Yeah. So, yeah, there are a lot of texts coming in about getting fines and so forth. It says, in Philly, my car's registration was expired and it got daily fines.
If you're parked on the street, obviously. If you're parked in your own driveway, that's okay. I would assume. If it's on your property.
It says, I had a broken down car that was completely legal, registered and insured right in front of my house, and they still put an abandoned sticker on it. It says, I'm from New Jersey, though.
If you have an illegal munitions factory on your property, that's okay, right?
No.
That's not okay.
It's not okay.
You have to check the statutes on that.
The inspection has to be up to date.
Let's see. I have a car that has been sitting next door to my house for 25 plus years. The house is abandoned. Bucks go.
Where?
I mean, we had, when we were in Manioc, there was a truck and an abandoned, I don't know if it was abandoned, but it just sat there for most of the summer.
There's a car down the street from my house now. It's a minivan.
Mini.
At this point, I think it doesn't even have wheels because they have disintegrated, but it is their Christmas decoration storage. They put their Christmas decorations this car that just doesn't work, but it sits on their property.
Oh, it's on their property.
It's on their property. It is not in the street, so I guess it's okay.
Do you ever go whittle with them?
No,
they exclusively use that as a storage container. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Got an
God.
Old truck to put our Christmas decorations.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, and it's on a nice road. I mean, the houses next to it are all very nice, well groomed. Yeah. And, you know, and their house isn't even terrible. It's the nice landscaping. It's just this old minivan that has their Christmas decorations in it.
Well, you'd see that on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous all the time, though. The wealthy people had their Christmas decoration vans parked on their front lawn.
Is it all rusted out and everything?
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. I said it looks like the I don't even know if it still has tires. Like, I'm not sure what is happening on the bottom of that car.
Yeah. I don't like that look.
There's a house not too far from my neighborhood, and I don't know why they have it. It says red, like 280Z. You know, Nissan, or wait, that?
Nissan.
Mazda.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Nissan.
Okay.
Nissan, 280Z was a Nissan, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just sitting there. And it's been sitting there forever, and I don't know why.
Is it on the lawn?
And it's out of character. It's actually on a concrete slab on the lawn.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Well, perhaps they needed something to put on the concrete slab. Maybe the concrete slab is the thing they're interested in, and they just needed something to keep it from blowing away.
There's a house not too far from me in my neighborhood, and I feel like I live in a nice neighborhood, and they've got this old conversion van. It's not up on cinder blocks, but there is no air left in the tires. It's like starting to rust out.
Why? Don't you just want to go up and go, what's that about?
Yeah.
You know, I know it'd be obnoxious too, but so many times you want to hear the story that led to that, like the Nissan. You wonder, is that a project? I'll get to it at some point.
Yeah, is it like Better Off Dead, where the car is just sitting in the driveway forever,
right?
And you think you're going to get to it, and then you never do.
Here,
put a cover over it.
This would be infuriating for anybody who has on-street parking. This one says, I live in Manioc, and if parking isn't hard enough, I'd had two effing cars that haven't moved in a year right on my block.
That would freak me out. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised somebody hasn't vandalized them. Yeah.
Yes, I would.
Oh, by the way, Datsun made the 280Z. That's who it was.
Which is Nissan, right?
Which is Nissan? Yeah. Okay.
The Nissan Datsun was made by Ford.
Oh. Little did I
know. Is that what it is, Press? That one right there?
Actually, it might be a 300Z.
Okay.
Which is the same. It's a more updated model of that. But
that was one of my dream cars.
That was a cool car.
It was a cool car.
Yeah, my sister's boyfriend had a 240Z. I always thought that was pretty cool.
But how long is this car going to sit on the side of the road? At a certain point, you got to come and grab it.
Yeah,
did you see it yesterday, Steve?
Is it sitting on a shoulder?
Actually, I didn't take Lincoln home yesterday.
Is Lincoln under construction?
Yes, yeah. It goes for a couple of days and then they open it back up.
Oh.
But it's sitting. Actually, it's not on the road. There is a little area, you know, where the police will use to do a UE around.
Oh wait, that little where that like building is?
No, there's no building.
Oh, okay.
There's just like a patch and a little bit of pavement. It's specifically used for the police to sit there. And, you know, monitor traffic.
Is there something we can stick on the side of the road, a la like a...
Free car. Just put a sign up, free car.
Not like a couch or something?
A couch, but, you know, a la like...
A toilet.
A Pope pot.
No.
Something we're trying to get rid of.
A fondue machine. A fondue. Yeah.
What about when they redo our green room? We could take those old uncomfortable couches and put them out there.
Yes, we could.
Where could we put it? Where could we put it where we'd sit and see if people would participate?
They already took... those out. They put the comfortable couch from the conference room next to Bill's office,
office,
and that's out there now.
Oh, so they got rid of it already?
So the Flintstone couches are gone.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's a better couch out there?
Yeah.
Wow. We would have had like a Viking funeral for them or something. Yeah. Set them on
the
fire.
The worst furniture ever made.
Oh, man. All right. Hang on real quick. Let me go to Ken. Ken, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, you had a question about the abandoned vehicles. I have your answer for you.
Go ahead.
Please.
So if a vehicle's on the roadway and it's just on the street, parked at the curb, and otherwise legally parked, it's fine unless the registration is expired, suspended, or if the inspection is expired, at which point you put the sticker on it saying it's abandoned, you send a certified letter to the owner, and if there's no response, you have 7 to 10 days, you can move it, or the department then tows it off the roadway. The only other thing is if the vehicle is determined to be a safety hazard. We had a kid in Camden a couple years ago that.
Oh, Ken,
we're losing you.
So you had a kid in Camden. Go ahead.
About 2-3 years ago, maybe even more, he climbed into the abandoned car and then he got stuck in the trunk and they were searching the neighborhood and he died.
I remember
that story. Oh, wow. It was horrible. Yeah.
It was terrible.
So hey. After that, a lot of departments stopped with the. There was a lot more discretion given. If the vehicle looks like it's a safety hazard, windows are busted out, or there's access to kids, it goes immediately.
Hey, Ken, let me ask you this. If they do happen to impound your vehicle, how long does the department hang on to it until they realize that they need room? They got to get rid of it. They got to trash it.
So it would be held for at least 30 days, at which point, like in the suburbs, a lot of the departments have independent contractors that tow. Mm-hmm. And if the person never comes to claim it, the independent contractor then can file paperwork with PennDOT for certification of the title.
They have to wait till everyone gets a chance to drive it, Preston.
Oh, okay.
but everyone wants to drive that 280Z.
Then they can own it, and then they can do with it what they want?
Sell it or sell it for scrap or whatever they want.
Okay.
So, Ken, that vehicle that's on Lincoln Drive, that is technically allowed to be there?
Well, that also comes down to if it's a no parking zone any time, well, that should probably be towed immediately.
Yeah, it's clearly not. It's not meant for parking. It's not like it's really where the police will usually park. You know, for we assume police business.
Well, that's what I mean. Like on a highway, like if you're on the blue route, you can't just pull over on the shoulder and leave your car there. That would get towed, correct?
You can't have a picnic.
A lot of times what people do, they'll put like a T-shirt or something or leave a note saying, coming back for it. Police will give them a couple days. If they're not back, boom, it's gone.
You think about all the cars, all the traffic, all the vehicles that get parked in places where they probably are not allowed to be parked on a daily basis in and around this area. It's got to be ridiculous. Yeah. How would you keep track of all those vehicles?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. Well, I don't know.
Maybe we can do, Preston, maybe what you do is for all those dead animals that are not being picked up, put those in the vehicles that are at least to hide them. They're kind
maybe.
Of, I saw a deer. I was on the Schuylkill over the course of a couple of months that became.
Yeah.
It was a full-blown buck, and by the end of it, it was a welcome mat.
Yeah.
All the innards and everything was out, and it was a pelt.
Well, same thing.
It's a biology lesson.
Yes.
In decay.
Yes.
As you go by, you start to notice the
look,
the stages kids, of
the deer.
Decay.
Yeah. it's now a comforter.
That's pretty nasty. I almost said, this time of year when we get up, man, I see deer every single morning.
Do you?
At least 8 or 10 of them.
Do you get a little hunting in before?
No, every single, but a baby went across in front of me.
Aww.
A fawn this morning.
Aww.
They're beautiful.
A major thoroughfare in my area, too. I had to slow down, but they're all over the place, so you got to be careful.
When do we enter rutting season?
I think it's in the fall.
I'm
not 100% sure on that, though.
When do we enter Rumspringer?
That's
when the Amish run across the street.
It's when you're 18, so it's going on all the time.
All the time, yep.
Yeah. Hang on, Mike says Cam was wrong with the towing qualification.
Oh,
sound like
damn
Mike,
it.
Right. Sound like he knew what he was talking about to me, but Mike just hung up. Never mind.
See?
All right. So
he knew if he pressed him, he would fold.
Dude, right. Honestly, you could just call and say that you're a doctor or an expert or whatever.
Go ahead.
We'll take your call.
And our commitment is we promise to believe whatever you say, not only that, and promote it as fact.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's our agreement with you.
Yeah.
Something else I'd like to talk about. I just thought this was interesting. Somebody had texted it,
yes.
And apparently it's been sitting there for 3 weeks or so. Nick went to, was it traffic court?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
And you had an interesting observation.
Yeah, I mean, listen, everybody's got to go at one point or another. And this was, I moved 6 or 7 months ago. And so there was a missed correspondence. And so when there's a missed correspondence between the city of Philadelphia and where I had been, they added some fines and stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
So I was totally cool with paying the original ticket. I just, I was trying to, get rid of some of those fines. So I went in and it was an hour and a half in the waiting room.
Oh.
This is the traffic court down on Filbert Street. And it's the best and brightest of Philadelphia are waiting in that waiting room with you. And I feel bad for everybody that's in there, but do you have to bring your screaming kids with you?
Mm.
Do you have to bring your cell phone in, even though it says no cell phones on the door, and play the video games at full volume? Do you have to have a full-on phone conversation on speaker while everybody else is in the waiting room? And we're all in this miserable pit of hell together.
Mm-hmm.
So just shut up and sit there and be quiet. And it's just, I find myself getting anxious and annoyed and frustrated with the process, and I'm trying to like work on being zen and calm and not hating everybody, but it's really hard. And so I was just wondering which is worse, the traffic court waiting room or the DMV waiting room, because that is
traffic court
just as long and can be just as awful.
Well, you have two different, there are two different kinds of annoying waiting rooms. So the ones where people are really annoying and they drive you crazy. And then there are the ones that are so bland and void of any personality whatsoever that you just have the seconds ticking away and it seems like an eternity.
Yeah.
So there's, I've sat in both of those scenarios.
Well, DMV,
before.
You could be there simply to register a new car that you got that you're really happy about.
Right.
If you're a traffic court, it's almost all unpleasant.
Yeah.
And you have people who are pissed off to begin with.
And there was a guy who came in, Steve, who clearly lost his case. And as he was leaving, he was yelling, for lack of a better term, in broken English about dropping racist slurs, homophobic slurs. And I was just
at
like,
at least that's entertaining.
Did I get everybody? Yes. Who did I leave out? The Hare Krishna suck.
That to me is entertaining. That's like going to a Broadway show. It's just, all right, let me just sit back and watch this. At least at the DMV, my DMV, there are like a next. You know, like you take a ticket, right? So you kind of have an idea of, all
it's
right.
Like a deli.
Yeah. I'm five away from being called up or whatever. At traffic court, there's no really, you don't know when you're going to get called up.
I tell you what, though, waiting in the jury pool sucks.
Mm.
Then when you go in and you haven't been picked for a jury yet and you've got nothing to do for hours
and
sit and wait for your number to come up and you have no idea if it's going to happen or not.
And when you're sitting there in the court, even if you don't end up being called for that case, you can't read books. You have to pay attention to everything that's going on. You can't, you can't look at your phone. You can't do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to just sit there.
There was a text that came in that said, do you understand that some people don't have a choice but to bring their kids? That's an ignorant statement. Of course I understand that. This woman, I felt bad for her. It doesn't mean it's not annoying while you're sitting in the waiting room and the kids are screaming and running around and being obnoxious.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't bring your phone?
I did, but not. So I was on every app that I had. You can't.
Yes.
You can't have a phone conversation. They say put your phone on silent. Don't talk to anybody.
See, I had my. I get the AirPods, so I wear my headphones all the time now.
Hey, I wear them all the time.
All the time in the supermarket, anything. Just that way I can sort of just close myself off.
Here's a nice text. It says, take a walk over to Family Court.
Oh, yeah.
Traffic court waiting looks like heaven compared to that.
Hey, they'll actually have security guards at Family Court.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and they'll like direct you. They'll say, "Are you, you know, mom or dad?" And they will seat them on different sides of the room.
These are people going through custody or divorce and stuff like that.
So they will purposely corral them to mitigate conflict.
Yeah, we had to go to the courthouse for something, and my brother was with me, and he walked in, and they said, "Sir, over there," and I was like, "No." We're okay. It's my brother. We're just here for something friendly.
Wow,
it wasn't, but they were directing him to go sit with the security guard over in like the quote male section or dad section.
Jeez.
Here's what I can't stand is if you've ever gone to a medical specialist. Now, specialists are usually busier than your standard doctors.
Yes.
I don't care.
It takes you
why
6 months to get an appointment.
Yes.
And I've had this on a couple of occasions where I've gone and my appointment is at 1 o'clock. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden it's 2:30, and nothing. And you don't know. You have no idea. At least, like with the jury waiting things, like, okay, I'm here from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. I might get chosen. I might not. At least I know what time I'm going to be out of here by.
You know,
when your appointment was at a certain time, and then it's dragged on for 2.5 hours afterwards, it's like, it's infuriating.
I can't believe I forgot about that. That is something that drives me insane. I've actually said something before. Why? I get it. You're a doctor. You're going to help everybody out. But why do you think that we have the entire day to sit in your office scheduled differently than you've been doing this for years? How do you not know how long each patient takes? And I know it's going to vary and some are going to be longer, but scheduled differently. Someone who's sick should not be sitting in your office. So my aunt, she died of pancreatic cancer and she was going to different doctors. At one point when she was in terrible pain, she sat in a doctor's office for 4 hours in the waiting room.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me you couldn't have scheduled that a little bit better so somebody who was in that much pain was not sitting and waiting in pain in your waiting room?
Well, to put it into perspective, when you're going for shrimp poppers at Applebee's, they give you a disc that lights up to let you know.
Something.
There anything so that you could go about your deal and then have that little disc light up when you're 20 minutes away from, you know, or anything.
Now you can communicate with your doctor, well, at least through the PEN system that I go to. I mean, you can email them and they will respond to you. So how about you just tell me when to come instead of scheduling me at 1 and not taking me until 7 o'clock at night?
Yeah. Marissa?
Recently, I had to go to the ER, and I was in there for 6 hours.
Six hours.
And granted, in fact, the emergency that I went for in my head didn't qualify as an emergency. I felt like I was calling the police for something that was a non-emergency. But my doctor said, just go there. That's where you'll get taken care of. And that's where he sent me. And that's where I went. And there were people who were worse off and they got taken ahead of me. But it was wretched.
Which is understandable. Yeah,
it sucks. ER, I kind of expect that you're going to be waiting.
You're going to be waiting. Yeah. I mean, and that's a different story.
It's not an appointment.
Unless you really ham it up.
But I
put
I
on
actually,
a show.
Well, that's why. Listen, they have urgent care, right? So, like, if you have, because the ER before all these urgent cares popped up, people were going to the ER because they had a fever, and you know, I guess maybe they don't
on
have
the weekend or whatever.
Yeah, they don't have a primary care physician, so let me go here to get some, you know, some antibiotics or whatever for a cold or strep throat or whatever. So now they have these urgent care places. And you should go to these urgent care places if it's not an emergency or if you don't think that you're going to be admitted into a hospital.
Have you noticed, Casey, that there are billboards for urgent care places that literally have the amount of time that you have to wait? So they're digital billboards.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, the digital billboards. And so there's one out by Oaks, where that Target shopping center is, in, off of 422. And it'll say the wait time for whatever the name of that urgent care is 15 minutes, which is a good sign.
And then there's another billboard that tells you how long you have to travel to get to that other billboard to find out how long you have to wait.
My friend just texted me. She said, Chop told me to expect to wait 3 to 5 hours with my 18-month-old.
What?
Yeah.
Hang on, Marissa.
Well, just one more to add to this. Outside of the ER emergency, passport. I had to expedite a passport, and I was there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And that is worse because you're not allowed to have your phone.
And is that waiting room just blah?
blah.
Yeah.
I was literally just counting numbers.
Is it the one on Chestnut?
Yes. Okay. And I was just trying to figure out the algorithm because it would go from like 79 to 42.
You're like, what?
To 63 to 75. And I was like 79. So I was trying to figure out. Wow.
Are we past the point where you can. Oh, have we become so callous as a society that you can't start a group sing along anymore?
Row, row, row
your boat.
Row, row, down the stream. Row your boat.
Yeah. You skipped.
Well, so
apparently
we
did. Too.
Oh, you did it too.
I thought
and then
that was
going to
go in there.
All right, go ahead, Steve.
I was taking the third. All right.
It's hard.
You just forge forward.
Yeah. Right, row
your
Kathy.
Boat.
Kathy.
Gently down the stream.
Oh, my God. Merrily down the stream.
Row your boat. Gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Gently down the stream. Merrily, merrily, merrily.
Do you all sink up eventually?
No, you don't.
No,
you
and I lost.
Or do you all die alone?
What you do is you stop and then each one stops.
Yeah. I had to close
Kathy,
my eyes.
You were right on key.
Try that at family court. You
that
know,
would be...
I gotta admit, I wanted to strangle you, but that was fun.
That would be much more fun.
You can keep the kid.
Hang on, I want to go to Derek, who is a doctor and a cancer survivor and can weigh in on both sides of the waiting room issue. Hi, Derek. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Wonderful. Derek, what kind of doctor are you?
Doctor of chiropractic.
Okay. All right. So what'd you want to tell us? Wait, your appointments are like 10 minutes long.
I know.
What are you going to weigh in about?
Not my office. I take
right.
my time.
Okay.
All right. But, so, you know, I do 20-minute blocks, and I can say as somebody who treats patients, you know, I do not like to be behind either because I know some of my clients, you know, they have that time blocked. They want to be there for that time. They have other things going on. But you always run into either your chronically late person that you still want to help or, you know, people get stuck in traffic, et cetera. That I know with other physicians, in order to stay in business, they know that people are going to be late. People are going to cancel at the last minute. So they double book just so they can almost stay open in that aspect.
Oh,
see, that's a problem.
That I do not like.
So they get stuck in a rock and a hard place, and it's just impossible to manage everything that can happen. But as a cancer survivor, I know what it's like when, you know, I actually have an appointment at 10 and 11 today. I'll get down there on time, and if I get seen by 12, I'll say, wow, that's a good day. They were only behind an hour.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got sick people. Things happen. They got to take care of it. And you
no, it's true. And to the Penn experience, I have to say, it's never outlandish. There used to be times in my medical past where it was just, I would prefer death. Then
oh no, I have a doctor at Penn that's late every single time, and I mean 2 hours plus every single time.
Wow,
and I just can't figure it out. And I was actually in that office to go to a different doctor there, and they had at least a white erase board there, and it said this particular doctor running 2 hours behind, and I'm like, this particular doctor has a problem. And needs to figure it out.
We do not. You don't need to be a full doctor. I'll still see you.
Seriously, this is why I'd rather die a slow death, suffering, instead of waiting in your office.
I'll take the chiropractor. Yeah. He seems to be a.
Yeah, he kind of knows.
He seems to be open.
Casey just wrote down the name of the doctor that I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I've never even been to this doctor, and I know that this doctor has a problem with like being super, super late. But
he's
like,
a great guy, but
he's
it's just,
also.
Come on, man.
Kind of like the best of the best in the area. So
well, then schedule like 5 less patients. I know it's money for them, but God, you can't wait to make these people
Here's
wait
what you do.
All day.
Start a false rumor about him. And watch those times get shorter and shorter.
Oh, I see the hotline ringing. Anybody want to guess who that is?
Somebody who makes us wait.
No, he does not. I wonder why. You know what? If your name... is shorter. Yours is too long. My name is Steve. Yours is Kathy.
Yeah.
That's
Hang
too
on
long.
A here. All right. It's the doctor, ladies and gentlemen, from Penn Medicine and Fox 29, Dr. Mike Sirigo.
Yeah.
Dr. Mike, good morning, sir.
Well, I just got in the car from Fox News, and I'm listening to you saying how you had to wait 2 hours consistently.
Yep.
To see me. Now,
Not you. A specialist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I keep people waiting, too. Now, I don't know the prior discussions, but let me just tell you exactly why and how that kind of thing happens, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, I book patients every half an hour. The problem is that it's not like I'm dealing with their accounting issues.
Yes.
I'm not dealing with the real estate taxes. Some people will come in and they will have major problems. Now, if I'm telling someone they have pancreatic cancer, I can't just say, look, your time is up, pal. I got to move on because I have a physical to do.
Right.
So it's kind of like there's a term in science called entropy, and it's basically the term used for the natural order of decay and chaos. And that's why a lot of doctors run behind. And so,
but then schedule one less patient if you know you have to tell someone that they're dying.
How do you I'm booked for 6 months, Kathy.
This is why Kathy, by the way, never became a doctor, because that's that bedside manner.
Dr. Mike, this is why I never come to your office.
Well, the bottom line is that you need to realize that, I have patients that are scheduled for 3 months.
Yep.
So if the patient has a critical illness, which comes up every day, how can I, Kathy, tell the patient that's waited 3 months for an appointment, oh, by the way, you're canceled. I'll see you in another 3 months. You can't do that.
Would it help, Mike, if you said, it's for Kathy Romano, and I'm sure you understand, and I'm sure that eventually you'll get the sensation back in your lower extremities.
Well, look, I treat all my patients the same way.
Yes.
Whether they are VIPs, whether they're not VIPs, everybody gets the same treatment, and that means you're going to have to wait, and that's the way it is.
I'm giving you an hour today. If you don't see me, I'm leaving.
Wow.
Well, see,
relax.
You're killing me. The bottom line is, I love you dearly, but you're a tough patient.
You know what? You know what, Mike? Give her a prostate check just for the hell of it. She doesn't have one, but just go for it. Yeah.
No, see, everyone, no one has time to. I love the expression. Well, I can't afford to get sick. I'm going to the islands.
Yes.
I can't afford. Well, talk to God.
You know what?
Okay, you don't have time to get sick. Well, let's call God on the phone and say, all right, God, listen, Kathy is going to put the cana and she can't get sick. Okay.
No, you know what? You know what's cool? I do love about your place of business in Penn is the fact that, as Kathy said earlier, is you have this My Penn Medicine account where you can communicate with the doctors and get your test results and all this stuff directly. It's wonderful. I think taking an extra step would be amongst doctors that have appointments coming up. Not like my barbershop does this, where they will alert you and let you know, okay, things are moving by quickly. Why don't you come on in now?
Or you're going to be waiting for 7 hours. Do you want to reschedule?
No, or we've got a long wait. We're running over, so it's looking more like blank time, you know, for your appointment. But that'd be a pretty complex system to put in. But I bet it exists out there.
You guys
are
doctors. You're smart.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that, again, if I get a phone call, say that's going along fine, all right, and I'm half an hour behind and you call, that's fine. But that doesn't mean by the time you are in the car and get to my office that I'm not going to get a call from someone that has chest pain.
Okay.
And look, it's frustrating for me as well. I've solved a lot of the problems in my practice by having additional staff and when you call, you get someone on the phone, and you guys and many of my patients have my cell, so you can call me on my cell.
Also, when you're in the office, you can check in and you check in on everyone to make sure they're okay. And I will tell you this also, and you have carte blanche. Anytime you need to bump Kathy to get us in there, by all means.
And one other thing, you know, I have a nutritionist, so when people are waiting, they see a nutritionist for free.
Yes.
They also can have, we have cloth gowns, we have treats and
it's nice.
Hey, whatever happened to the hot towels you used to hand out? That went away.
Where's your masseuse?
Yeah, masseuse would be nice.
When it's 90 degrees, we don't give
hot towels. Yeah.
During a heat wave, you don't give out hot towels?
Here's Dr. Mike, here's what you need to do. You need to open up a spa in your office, and then I'll come. Okay. I'll spend the day at the spa, and then when you find the time to see me, I'll come into your office.
Well, since I get $2 per digital rectal exam,
it must be a joy.
It if I win the Powerball, then I'll have a Dr. Mike clinic. It'll be free.
Mike, it must be a joy every time Kathy shows up.
Listen, last night I asked him to prescribe me an antibiotic, and he told me no, and that I had to go into his office, and he said, Joan Rivers was under VIP care.
And she died.
She died. So I have to go into the office.
I should have stayed with the trumpet.
I love it, and I love humanity, even when it causes me chest pain.
Even when it's named Kathy Romano.
Now, listen, Dr. Mike, I've never had an issue with you in particular, but there's a specialist that you've sent me to a few times. I'll text you who it is, but every single time it's been 2 hours plus past the appointed time. So anyway, we were just talking about waiting rooms. We weren't talking specifically. It just led into doctor's appointments. Yeah, but we were talking about number of appointments.
Your waiting room is better than the DMV.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, by far.
Well, look, I'm not going to pretend that I have all the answers. Someday I'll try to figure it out, probably after I retire. But the thing is that it's tough, and I just need people to realize that doctors are frustrated. It's not that I overbook, but today Kathy's coming in, I'm overbooking. You know, it is what it is.
Just call in the script.
Hey, listen to your doctor.
Right, I'm wrapping.
Yeah, it's enough. It's annoying.
Because you too.
You know what, Jesus. Mike? There's nothing to say that an air bubble can't get into that hypodermis.
Steve.
All right, we love you, Dr. Mike.
I'm thinking of sticking a needle into my eye.
See you later. Bye.
I love you.
I love you.
Yes. All right, see you, Dr. Mike. Oh, my
poor guy.
Could you imagine that?
No.
The complaining. This specula's too cold.
They should warm them up.
Listen, we got to take a break. Thank you for remaining on hold. I apologize. That's a waiting room as well when you sit there on hold trying to get on our show. But unfortunately,
look at us. We're doing the same thing.
I know. We can't get to everybody.
We're busy.
We have not your average listeners. We got to get them here in the studio. But we're going to rely on your texts to let us know if they are worthy of a cash prize that we have up for grabs. And our new sponsor, New Jingle, is on the way, too. We're excited about that. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
So it's been a little while since we've done a Not Your Average Listener, and I am happy to say that we have a new sponsor of the Not Your Average Listener segment. And for those who may not be familiar, if you're a new listener to the Preston and Steve Show, we bring in people to the program from time to time who have emailed us to tell us something unique about themselves, and that can be an occupation, it can be a hobby, it can be a physical ability that they have. There's all kinds of things.
We've had every sort of thing you could possibly imagine. It all sort of was an offshoot of you consistently hearing from, we all have, people would come up and say, I'm not your average listener, but, or I have this or something. And we said, okay, we're getting a lot of these. Let's see if they'd be interesting on the air.
So many people with cool jobs and interesting things. We've had people who have discovered a new type of dinosaur to a piano mover,
to a guy who can do pool trick shots.
To two guys who created their own language.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Those guys were awesome.
Those guys were hilarious.
They were awesome. So we are about to welcome two more Not Your Average listeners, and there is a cash prize involved. And this time it is courtesy of our new sponsor, and it's Kraft School Bus.
Yeah!
Not Your Average Bus Company, hiring school bus drivers in Chester County. Go now to craftbus.com, which is K-R-A-P-F-B-U-S.com. And it comes with a brand new Not Your Average Listener jingle.
Very excited to hear this.
Here we go.
Some think that you're a weirdo. Others think you're okay. Sometimes you feel like people can't do the things you do in the way you do them. The Preston and Steve, they found me. Told me to stop by today. Cause if you just text yes to 39333, Kraft School Bus will give $250 to me. 93.3 WMMR. Can it be I'm not your average listener? Thanks to Kraft School Bus and Preston and Steve, I have this opportunity. $250 is my dream. Text yes to 39333.
That is courtesy of Kyle in our video department.
Is he here today?
No. I have not seen him.
I should have been here.
But Kyle put that together. Kyle is an awesome singer, by the way. He's actually
that's him singing. Yeah,
that's him. He's made an album with the Temptations. Believe it or not.
Yes, I mean,
yes, the Temptations. And he's the guy behind our Delco jingle and the Bucksco versus Delco. Anyhow,
yeah.
So Kyle did that for our new Not Your Average Listener segment and knocked it out of the park. I absolutely love it. So with that, let me read the email that I got from our next two guests here, and then we will talk to them a little bit. It says, hey, guys, I have been racing sled dogs since 1994. I currently have three Siberian Huskies and one Border Collie who thinks he's a Husky. We mostly run on dirt with specially made carts, and we do have a sled if we are lucky enough to get some snow. We mostly run here in New Jersey, but we also travel. My daughter Holly has taken over the training and racing duties with me as the support crew, and we do it just for fun, although it is possible to win enough money to fill the gas tank in the truck. We like to be outdoors, and our dogs love to run. We are members of two different clubs in the area. The Pennsylvania Sled Dog Club is a pretty big club that puts on a few races per year. And the Jersey Sands Sled Dog Racing Association may do one race per year, but we help a lot of people get started. A lot of new people get started in the sport. And I've attached a picture of my daughter and team on snow and dry land. I'm a longtime listener of MMR and have listened to your show for about 5 years now. My daughter and I would love to be on the show as Not Your Average listeners. Thank you. Please welcome Chris Jacobs and Holly to the show this morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. So that's a great letter that you sent in. And not only are Chris and Holly here, who else did you bring with you, Chris?
We brought my wife, and we brought my prize lead dog, Piper.
Piper's your lead dog.
All right,
so gorgeous dog.
Piper's a Husky, correct?
Piper is a Siberian Husky.
A Siberian Husky. That's great.
And I'm sorry, are there differences between Huskies? Sorry, Preston.
That's okay.
There's something known as an Alaskan Husky, which is basically a mutt.
Okay.
Mixed with, it could be Siberian Husky mixed with Lab. There's a bunch of running breeds all mixed into
all right. I was actually surprised. So Piper is your lead dog. I thought Piper would be not unlike Dalton, a little bit bigger.
Right.
But very slender dog, but very powerful, I would imagine.
Yes. That's what you look for in a leader. You put your faster, leaner dogs up in lead.
Okay.
And then what's called a wheel dog is what directly in front of the sled. They're your bigger, more stronger dogs that
They're the power. They're the engine.
Yeah, well, yeah, that, and they kind of help pull the sled around turns and stuff like that. They get a little bit more abuse back there.
So my wife was actually, I forget if she was Norway or wherever, and she was actually with her. They had a whole bunch of sled dogs, and they live to run together and do, I mean, this they love it. They love running in the pack and the whole thing, and a great experience. But, of course, they have a lot of snow. You run on dirt as well and sand, or how? Is this year-round, or is it, I mean, don't they, I assume in the dead of summer, it's prohibitive for them, right?
In the summer, we don't run them at all.
Okay, all right.
I mean, they would run. I mean, I could put a harness on her right now and run her across this parking lot.
Right.
She would gladly do it.
Okay.
But she could overheat really quick, and it could really hurt her.
Right, you don't want to do that.
So you mentioned the wheel dog, you mentioned the lead dog. What are some other names? What are some other phrases in that sport that we may not be familiar with?
Okay, you have your lead dogs, they're the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Directly behind the lead dogs are sometimes called swing dogs or point dogs. And then in the middle...
Are your
team dogs.
Okay.
And as I mentioned earlier, right in front of the sled will be your wheel dogs.
Now, that's if you're running a whole bunch. How many are there? You said you have four?
We just have four. So we have leaders and wheel dogs.
All right. And Holly here. How old are you, Holly?
I'm 17.
So Holly's 17, and you look younger than that. You're very small in stature. So that's is it a driver? What is the name of the person that's driving the sleds? Driver?
It's a driver. Sometimes they're called mushers.
Mushers. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And so I would imagine you need fewer dogs since you're smaller and lighter, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But you could run a big team if you wanted to?
Yeah.
And what would a big team be considered? How many dogs would be a lot?
Usually we race up to 8, but in other places like Alaska, they run a lot more, like on snow.
Like more than like 10 or 15?
I've run Laura. How much... she runs like 10. 12.
Okay.
So is it a dream? Well, obviously you will get snow. We had a snowy winter just recently, and I'm sure you're out and about in that. Is there a long-term goal for you, Holly, perhaps to like enter into the Iditarod or something of that ilk?
I used to want to do the Junior Iditarod, like kind of seriously, kind of never.
Yeah.
Knowing that I would never do that. We do sprint racing, and the Iditarod's more, it's a long-distance race,
which right.
is like the complete opposite of what we do.
Okay.
But I would like to do, like, bigger name sprint races.
So longer distance, but you're not interested in the long journey. It's you prefer the competition of a more timed, confined race.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, and how long would a sprint? So, because when we hear Iditarod, you hear 100-plus miles, some ridiculous.
Like 30 days or something.
Yeah, ridiculous amounts.
The winners do it in 8 days, and it's 1,100 miles.
Wow. 1,100 miles. How is that
possible?
How do the animals survive that?
Well,
I know
they get on a train, Preston.
Listen, I know that they're well cared for animals, and you love them, and you take good care of them, and they work really hard, but that seems impossible for an animal to be able to do that and survive.
Yeah, and that's with a mandatory 24-hour layover they have to take, and mm-hmm. I believe there's a 12-hour layover they also have to take.
But they're just that resilient,
and they're bred for that. I mean, this is what they do. This is where they live for it.
Okay, then how long is a sprint? How many in miles or
sprint
time?
Sprint racing is generally about 5 miles.
Okay,
sometimes a few more miles, sometimes a few less, depending on the trail.
Gotcha. So, are these dogs also your pets? They live inside your home? Oh yeah,
yes.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Yes.
Okay, and so when is there? Did they know the difference, or do you? I guess tell them or show them when there's a difference from training, and then when they come in the house, they can kind of relax and.
Matter of fact, the first thing she did when she got in your waiting room was jumped up on the couch.
Okay.
She's, dare I say, privileged. all the rest of my dogs are in crates at night. She gets to sleep on the couch.
Any difference in ability between male dogs and female dogs?
Not really.
No. Doesn't matter?
No. I mean...
To pee standing up.
The males are generally bigger, so they're going to be a little stronger.
But, okay.
I prefer females myself.
I've joined the club
over the years. I've had really good luck with my females.
Chris, when did you get into this? How long ago?
We got our first dog in '94.
Okay, and what was the idea? Did you just get the dog first and then
Were you here? Were you living in the area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me go back a little bit.
Okay.
When I was about 5 or 6 years old, we had an Alaskan Malamute, which looks like a husky, but they're much bigger.
Gorgeous.
And my dad bought a harness for this dog, and hooked me to just about anything the dog could pull.
Yeah.
And there was a peach orchard next to our house, and he would run me through that peach orchard and nine times out of ten wrap me around peach trees.
There you go. And you fell in love.
It always stuck with me.
Yeah.
And growing up, I always wanted a Siberian Husky. And my wife bought me my first Husky for our wedding gift.
Oh,
so, wow. So in and they obviously, you talk about the summer, and I've known growing up, my neighbor had a couple of Huskies, and you have to take special care of them. I mean, they're very susceptible to overheating and all that, correct?
Yes, yeah. Very susceptible to overheating. When we're not home, when we're at work, they go in their kennel, which is outside, but it's in the shade.
Yeah.
And they know. They just lay around and do nothing. They have plenty of water. And they weather it pretty well.
Okay, all right.
But Siberian Huskies in general are tough dogs to keep. I mean, I love them to death, but they do have their
requirements. That, yeah,
and a lot of them end up in shelters because people buy this cute puppy.
You're right.
From
yes.
pet store or wherever, and
they don't know what they're getting
right,
into
when they grow up. Yeah, you know, right now you could see the hair coming out of her right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
People aren't ready for the hair. People aren't ready for the
energy.
Thank
right.
You,
so do they dig and things like that, or tear stuff up? Yeah,
yeah.
They're trying to get back to Siberia, probably.
There's a picture on my Facebook of her.
Yeah,
laying in a hole, probably a good foot and a half.
That she dug.
So, oh yeah, Preston, mm-hmm. You should take your dogs.
Yeah, we got Yorkies. We got pet puppies. I didn't know the digging was a primal urge that they have. Yeah. I got plenty of holes in my yard, but what are you going to do? You love them, you know.
Try hooking them to a sled.
Right. Yeah,
my team of Yorkies.
Yeah, pulling Preston my ass around. A razor scooter. Yeah. A razor scooter. I in the picture we had up here, there you were training or. I don't know. I guess it was a Eucharist on a bike with the dogs pulling the bike. Is that part of the training process?
Well, no. Actually, that's the great thing about dryland racing. You don't need a whole team of dogs to get into this.
Okay.
There's actually bicycle racing classes.
Okay.
You can two dogs and hook them to a bike and go race.
And how fast will they get you up to?
I've never really clocked this team, but my old team... Right out of the truck when we say go, about 19 or 20 miles an hour.
Wow.
But they don't.
It's a nice clip.
Yeah. They don't maintain that the whole time.
Sure.
You know, that's just getting that pent up energy out.
Casey Tortoiseshell.
And then they'll slow down.
Now, that's like the horse racing. I spoke to this guy, Keith Jones, who calls horse racing. He said, a lot of people don't realize, but horses are slowing down almost the entire time
right.
that they're doing the race. They
exactly.
start off as fast as they can go because it's their instinct. Yeah. It's what they do. But then after that, they taper off and they eventually start slowing down.
Well, they should run backwards for a more exciting finish.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Speed up at the end. So let me ask you the difference between on land and on snow. Is it more difficult for the dogs to pull a sled than to pull something that has wheels?
No, actually, it's a little easier on the sled.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you would think the opposite.
Yeah.
Now the weather's cooler, so their dogs are going to have more energy.
Yeah.
And they've always said you can go further on snow than you can on dry land before the dogs will.
What's the farthest you've gone on snow? The longest trip you've taken with the dog team?
I've done maybe 8 or 10 miles.
Okay.
At the most. We mostly do sprint racing.
Where do you race around here? I assume Center City, stuff like that. No. Where do you go?
Brendan T. Byrne State Forest is where we train.
Okay.
My friend and I, Jess, we've organized a couple races out there where we've had teams from as far north as Maine, I think Canada.
Oh.
We've had people from Minnesota show up, and we've had some really good races out there.
So, Holly, you do a lot of racing. Do you actually say the word mush when you're trying to coach the dogs along? Or
I'll say when I, start, the first, I'll say, let's go.
Yeah?
And you want to try not to talk too much because eventually the dogs will tune you out.
Oh, really?
Stop listening to you.
They tell you to shut up, right?
Yeah.
But you do have commands of some sort, I would imagine,
do.
Right?
Okay. We don't say left or right. Left is haw and right is G.
Yeah.
Haw and G?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're like hip-hop names.
And do they... Are there reins of sort? No. So you just, it's all verbal commands. Wow. No kidding. That's really interesting.
That's why having a good leader is very important.
And so she's got to listen. She's got to absolutely know what you're saying.
Holly, okay. When you're up and running and you're booking along, are you in your glory? Is it, you know, describe that experience because it always seems like it's a, you know, it's, I love going out hiking with my dog every day, and it's a zen experience. But I mean, I assume it has to be a similar rush with a whole team of dogs in front of you, right?
Yeah. When I run, I tend to focus a lot.
Okay.
And, like, I have to take a step back sometimes, be like, wow, this is fun.
Yeah.
And, like, my dad does this too. We get kind of like tunnel vision. And, like, sometimes when we're up, we call it Tug Hill. It's a snow race. You look around. It's beautiful. The trees and everything.
Yeah. You don't want to lose that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now on the on land, the vehicle that you're being pulled on, is it called a bike?
Well, the
or trike,
we have a three-wheeled cart that we call
a cart.
Okay. Some people call them rigs. Some other people call them gigs.
Okay. And that has brakes on it, I would assume,
yes.
Right? How about the sleds? Is there a way to stop the sled? Because when the dogs stop, there's still got to be momentum to the sled.
Right. Yeah, right. It has a claw brake that you step on that jams these two bars down into the snow.
And right. Launches you over the front of it, right?
and if you get into a tangle or something and you have to stop the team to get off the sled, it's called a snow hook. And it's literally just a big hook that you pound into the snow. It's like an anchor. And that'll keep the dogs from taking off on you while you're...
Well, and I would imagine the dogs can get hurt, too, if that sled keeps going.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, it could careen right into him.
If a dog's, I mean, a lot of times dogs will stop to just poop.
Yeah.
And you got to.
Hell, you will.
Be ready to hit the brakes because now, you can run your dog over. Yes, that's a big concern.
Yes. Chris was adamant about this before we started this interview, and you wanted to make sure you issue a word of caution to people who are interested in this type of thing.
Yeah, I'd just like to say anybody out there that wants to try taking their Siberian Husky or any other dog for that matter out and running them, to Google a sled dog club. I mean, even if it's not one local to here, Google our sled dog club. There's always people that'll help you because you could really hurt your dog and you could hurt yourself.
That's the last thing you want,
and that's
obviously.
The last thing I want.
So don't go out to the peach orchard and let him drag you around all over the
exactly.
place like you did.
I'm lucky to be alive.
how many practitioners of this are there in the area, would you say?
Yeah, you estimate. Have quite a few listeners that do this in this
really?
Area.
Really? Yeah. Like Charles Lance?
Well, no, I noticed a few of them are texting in. Like, they want to know, they want me to ask Chris, what happens when you shoot yourself in the hand with a pressure washer?
I did that.
Did you do that?
His friends are texting in.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that part of the training?
Or how much does a windshield for a golf cart cost after you almost run it into a lake?
That would be my boss, Justin. Justin. All
right. No, but it's a decent size group of people that participate in this.
Oh yeah,
in the area.
Yeah, we have and actually Pierre Robert has a super fan. Named Liz Stenitis. I believe she's been in here on his show.
No kidding.
But, yeah,
and she does it.
Yeah.
So are we talking thousands?
No.
We talking 100?
Probably.
We talking a small van?
The Pennsylvania Sled Dog Club is roughly about 100 people.
Okay.
That's a good size.
People from all over Pennsylvania.
All right. And is there a Kentucky Derby of local events that takes place? Like one big, here we go, all the champions, we're going to find out who the winner is.
Pennsylvania Derby?
Yeah.
The race that I put on out in the Pine Barrens was a pretty good one, but we just don't have the weather. Every time we think we're going to get a race off, the weather screws us.
Are we going to do the Pennsylvania Derby?
I'm writing it down right now.
That's brilliant.
Very cool. I love this. I've always been fascinated with this. It always looks, it has a romantic sort of feel to it out in the open. You know, I'm sure the Eskimos and the Inuits? This is their mode of transportation. They're not as enamored of it, but it's still very cool.
Hey, what did you think of that Cuba Gooding Jr. movie about it? What was it, Snow Dogs?
Snow Dogs, yeah.
It was a fun movie.
Jerry Maguire.
But when you see Siberian Huskies running out of the barn, untethered through anything, that's totally false.
Okay.
Siberian Huskies don't hang around for anybody.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're
bold?
They're known for... Well, that's what they want to do. They want to run. They want to see what's over there.
Right.
We never let our dogs off leash or, you know, off the team at all.
I mean, okay.
One of my dogs is running free, something's wrong.
Okay.
So, Holly, you going into your senior year this year, I guess?
I am.
Okay. And then after that, you have plans for college or going away or anything like that?
I'm staying local. I'm going to Rowan University.
Okay. So then you'll be able to keep doing this, which is cool. That was going to be my follow-up question as to whether you want to continue on with this and how far do you want to take it, you know?
I'm not sure because I have a lot of other stuff going on, so it kind of depends how far I get into that.
Okay.
but I'd like to continue all my activities.
Are you thinking of putting together a cat team, or is that sure you need about 100 of those, right?
Man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, we have Chris and Holly. Did I touch on everything? Is there anything else you guys want to mention?
No, I think so.
By the way, if people want to contact these clubs, what are the names of them again?
There's the Pennsylvania Sled Dog Club, and there's the Jersey Sand Sled Dog Racing Association.
How about this? Somebody who doesn't own dogs, it doesn't have the type of money to get into this type of activity. Do you guys offer an experience where they can come and try it out?
Yeah, we can make that happen.
Okay, it's
very cool.
I tell people we're training out in the woods just about every weekend, depending on the weather.
Okay. All right,
As long as it's below 50 degrees, we try and get out and run.
Okay. So think about this more towards a late autumn and throughout winter.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's put it to you guys. We are going to find out now if these are the not your average listeners you would hope they would be. $250 up for grabs. Some think that you're a weirdo. With our cash prize here, courtesy of our new sponsor.
I got to hear this again.
Kraft School Bus is our sponsor. When Preston and Steve, they found me, and they told me to stop by today. Because if you just text yes to 39333, the Kraft School Bus will give $250 to me. 93.3 WMMR. Did you write this, by the way, Case?
No, I did not.
It's all Kyle.
I just told him do an 80s sitcom theme and nice. Thanks to Kraft School Bus and Preston and Steve, I have this opportunity.
$250 is my dream. Text yes to 39333. All right, if you think that Chris and Holly deserve the cash prize, text yes to 39333 or no to 39333 if you don't think they deserve it. So we'll see what you get. And by the way, Kyle, not only a great singer, he has the chore of being really good looking, too.
Yes.
Which is just horrible.
And he's a very good at video production. He does a lot of he's helping Nick Murphy with the Daily Rush videos that are doing a great job.
How does he deal with it? Ugh. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. When we return, we'll tally the votes. We'll find out, and we'll make the announcement if they win or not. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
This summer, the MM Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Big dogs running. Big dogs out.
All right, speaking of dogs, we just had our two Not Your Average Listener guests spend some time with us. It's Chris and Holly Jacobs, and they have a sled dog team.
Yes, they do.
And they run them in the wintertime. They run them on land. They run them on snow. And they're local and are listeners of the Preston and Steve Show. So we put it to you guys. You heard their story about what they do and what it's all about. And now we've had you vote. And we are going to see if we award them, courtesy of Kraft School Bus, whether or not they get this $250 cash prize. So we had a lot of votes. And it looks like it is, 3% no. And 97% yes. Yes, that means we got one. Yes. It's a paltry $250, but it is the pride of impressing our audience this morning that these guys walk away with today.
It is a cool thing. I at some point, I think, it'd be fun to give it a try.
Hey, by the way, does Piper, does she speak on command? Could we get her to bark in the studio? Because it's kind of tough on the radio for people to get a feel for the dogs in the studio.
You kind of have to howl.
Oh.
So if everybody in the room howls.
Oh, we can do
try
that.
It. She might.
All right. You guys want to try it?
Yep.
One,
right,
two, three.
Oh, no.
She's just staring at us like those
guys. These guys are idiots.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Get excited over Marissa. Case, you have the siren?
Oh, don't you scare her.
Yeah, scare her.
What do you mean? It's a howling sound.
She's
siren.
She's
yeah,
a
he's saying yes on the siren.
She's a police dog. She's not a fire dog.
She's just standing there.
All right. It's like when we had the fainting goats, Preston.
Nailed it. Tried not to remember that.
Yeah. There we go.
Well, at least we howled.
Yeah. How about this?
We got a whimper out of her?
Yeah. I knew she wasn't going to do it.
I just wanted to see you. No, dogs. Anybody who is a dog owner knows they're committed to making you look like a liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations, Chris and Ollie. We got $250 for you. Courtesy of Kraft School Bus, not your average bus company, hiring school bus drivers in Chester County now. So go to Kraft, that's KRAPFBus.com, and get signed up for that now. So thank you, guys. Very nice.
Yay.
Enjoy the rest of your summer and those wonderful dogs that you have. All right, we are going to do the Bizarre File. Here it comes.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and this morning is brought to you by Skull Shaver. Attention, bald guys. Shave your head in less than 90 seconds and say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pit Bull from Skull Shaver. Use promo code BALD at skullshaver.com for exclusive discounts. Well, it seems common sense that you should keep your sex dolls and your family life separate, but
yes.
The year is 2018, and the world is full of horrors. Samantha, a sex robot whose personality is run by artificial intelligence that reacts to a person's touch and voice and can even say no if she's not in the mood, went on sale in the UK last September. But this is what I didn't know. She comes with a family mode.
A family mode? What does she do in family mode?
She tones down her more suggestive lines, and instead of asking you to get more sensual, Samantha can talk about animals and philosophy or science.
Let's start couponing.
And she's programmed with 1,000 jokes, too. One sex robot owner...
Hey, did you hear about the loser who bought a sex doll?
And a co-founder...
It's you!
And a co-founder of the company that makes the robots, Cynthia Amatas, appeared on the British TV show This Morning with Samantha. Now, Aaron Lee Wright is the person's name and caused a few viewers to raise their eyebrows when he told the host that he lets his kids play with the sex robot.
Oh, that's wonderful. Lord.
When it's on family mode. Wright has 3 and 5-year-old children, and his wife does not seem bothered by the inclusion of Samantha in the household.
Because she died 5 years ago.
No, she said, I'm not worried she's going to replace me. She is just someone that their family, someone there like a family member.
That's my rubber mommy.
But is having a sex robot, albeit a family-friendly one, healthy in a household where young, impressionable children are growing and learning?
That's the question.
You're probably saying obviously not, and you're correct, according to Kathleen Richardson, who is a professor of ethics and culture of robots at AI and De Montfort University and founder of the Campaign Against Sex Robots. There's a campaign against sex
Absolutely.
Robots.
Stamp it out.
They said children will imitate machines if brought up by them. So she says, no dice, but I had no idea of a family mode in your sex robot at home.
Of course. It's brilliant.
How about this? A 50 Shades of Grey-like sex game turned into a violent knife attack with one childhood friend mangling another. And as Sarah Holden lay tied naked to the bed, her friend whispered to her, sorry, princess. Shauna Littlewood then drove a 12-inch knife into Holden's body a staggering 17 times.
Oh, my God.
How this woman survived, I don't know. She was sentenced to life in prison for attempted murder last week. This is in the UK.
Did somebody forget to set the thing to family mode or what?
Yeah. The Sheffield, England woman remains baffled why Littlewood attacked her. She said, I long to know why Shauna attacked me, but I doubt I ever will.
That's unbelievable.
She not only ripped our friendship apart, but she also literally ripped me apart, too. It was a frenzied attack that Holden was lucky to survive. She suffered internal bleeding near her heart, a punctured lung, and needed more than 50 stitches on her face.
I have to say I agree with her. It'd be hard to maintain a friendship with someone who stabbed me 17 times.
In addition to the scars, Holden's vocal cords were severed.
Yeesh.
And she has difficulty speaking. Holden said that the two had been friends since they were 7 and hadn't seen each other in a long time, so they planned a girls' weekend at Littlewood's home. After some drinks and a long catch-up, things turned steamy. She said, something happened and I leaned in to kiss Shauna. She said she had never really fancied a friend, but for some reason she wanted to kiss her. She said, I was amazed when she grabbed my hand and led me to her bedroom. Shauna laid me down on the bed and she looked me dead in the eye and asked if she could tie me up. Holden agreed, but when she came back, she was carrying a knife with her, man.
Dear God.
Yeah, she said, I just remember feeling a searing pain tearing through my leg and seeing a flash of silver.
She didn't ask about the knifing, did she?
She said, I've been left with my own life sentence. I have a broken body, wrecked nerves, and shattered dreams. Her lawyer blamed booze. Littlewood's lawyer blamed booze for the attack. She's in jail for life. That's
I think
up.
It's more than just booze. You're dealing with a lunatic.
Yeah, you're a murderer. The death of a wounded fox brings to 9 the number of animals that have died as a result of the weekend escape of a jaguar from its enclosure at the zoo in New Orleans.
Yeah, this thing's been prowling the zoo, feeding on the other animals.
Rusty was one of two foxes attacked by the big cat. Audubon Zoo officials say on the zoo's website that Rusty died on Monday. The jaguar, Valerio, escaped his enclosure before the zoo opened Saturday morning and was captured less than an hour later, the zoo reported on Sunday. The details on how the jaguar escaped have not been released. The zoo says an initial inspection indicates the roof of the habitat was compromised, but they say an investigation is continuing. An alpaca, a fox, and a fox died on Sunday. 4 alpacas, 1 emu, and a fox died on Saturday. So this thing tore through a whole bunch of them.
6 gerbils, 2 cats, a hamster, and a rabbit.
Went after everything.
When they recapture it, they're not going to destroy this jaguar.
If it's doing what a jaguar does.
I hope so. I hope they keep it alive.
Yeah, I don't know. No people were injured in the incident. And then one last story. Indonesian villagers armed with knives, hammers, and clubs slaughtered 292 crocodiles in revenge for the death of a man by a crocodile at a breeding farm. Photographs showed showed bloody carcasses of the crocodiles in a large pile.
There.
The head of
Indonesia. I'm sure we got the right one.
Of Indonesia's Natural Resources Conservation Agency in West Papua said that the 48-year-old victim had entered the crocodile farm and was likely picking grass for animal feed when he was attacked. An employee heard someone screaming for help. He quickly went there and saw a crocodile attacking someone. After the burial of the man on Saturday, villagers entered the farm and they killed all the crocodiles.
It's a crocodile enclosure, basically.
Yeah, it's a refuge.
And like, crocodiles sort of are known to kill people and other animals, and they attack. And so
now
it happens.
You hate sharks, Casey. What do you think about this?
I'm fine with it.
Okay. The farm had been given a license to breed protected saltwater and New Guinea crocodiles in 2013 for preservation and also to harvest some of the animals. But one of the conditions was that the reptiles did not disturb the community. To prevent this from happening again, farming license holders need to secure surrounding areas, they said. And the agency is coordinating with police in their investigation. Crocodiles are God's creatures, he said, that need to be protected too. So that's pretty wild,
that's
man.
Insane.
They went and slaughtered all of them. Yeah. And that is what I have in the bizarre file. Let's give you some movie passes. We got this screening of the next Mission Impossible film coming up on Monday. It's called Fallout. And I can take 5 callers right now, and I'll put you on that list. So it is Monday at the UA King of Prussia at 215-263-WMMR. You can get those tickets, and you will need to be there by 7 o'clock because the screening starts at 7:30. So give us a call right now. We're going to come back in a moment. We'll have our lesson question ready for you, as well as the trash and music news. See if you've been paying attention. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dorothy. Take me down to the bottom. Fozzie. Stone Temple Pilots.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Blind Melon, no rain on MMR, and no such luck from what I understand. Expecting some thunderstorms moving into our area. Later on this afternoon, I heard maybe late afternoon, so we'll see if that holds true or not. But the potential flash flood issues are going out around noon today.
My God!
Yeah, we could have tornadoes. I don't know.
Tornado!
Not a meteorologist, but we'll see. But tomorrow, sunny, high of about 88. And then Thursday for the Belly Flop Championships at the Valley Beach poolside at Valley Forge Casino Resort. It's looking perfect. It's looking like 86 degrees and sunny. And that's exactly what we want. And lower humidity levels over the next couple of days.
Yes, it's perfect.
And it's free, man. All you have to do is be at least 21 years of age and come out and bring your swimsuit if you want to. Take a little dip. Grab a cocktail and watch the spectacle. Because it's exactly what it's going
to
be.
The area there is so cool because it's obviously meant to replicate a beach club, and they've got all sorts of stuff going on. It's really comfortable and a lot of places to hang out, not the least of which is the pool itself.
And we having DJ Pancake back this year?
I hope so.
I think he's spinning the music.
Is that right? Yeah.
So come and join us, and that is from 6 to 8 p.m., and that is indeed on Thursday. All right, so I'm going to do a lesson question. Today we have a pair of three-day go-everywhere passes for Exponential Music Festival, presented by Subaru, July 27th through the 29th, and that is on the Camden waterfront. And the question I have for you is now is, when he was 11 years old, what was Steve's name as a woman? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We were talking about womanhood earlier this morning. When he was 11 years old, what was Steve's name as a woman? And don't say like Steverini, you know, Stevietta. It's something totally made up, and you had to have heard it earlier this morning. 215-263-WMMR. Let's do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning it is brought to you by Delilah's. The most beautiful and talented performers will compete for the coveted Diamond G-String Award at Delilah's tomorrow. And it's hosted by Chanel West Coast. You can visit Delilahs.com for details. What's going on, Steve?
Well, charges have been filed against Farrah Abraham for an alleged assault against a Beverly Hills Hotel security guard. Abraham plans to vigorously fight the charges, saying they could negatively impact her reputation as an anal porn actress.
Oh,
oh my God.
After a three-year suspension, Hulk Hogan has been restored to his place in the WWE Wrestling Hall of Fame. Hogan says when he heard the news, the fake hair sewn into his bandana stood on end. And finally, Vin Diesel reportedly asking for $2 million just for generating social media posts about his new movie Bloodshots. Diesel says that while that amount might seem high, it's very difficult for him to, quote, think words and then spell them. And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the question. What was Steve's name when he was 11 years old as a woman? And I will go to Andrew and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Preston. You guys rock.
Thanks. Appreciate it, brother. So what was Steve's name as a woman when he was 11?
Wouldn't it be Thelma?
Velma.
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah, yeah. Velma, Andrew, hang on a second. We're going to give you a pair of three-day go-everywhere passes for Exponential Music Festival presented by Subaru, July 27th through the 29th on the Camden waterfront. 3 days, three stages, 30-plus performers featuring an eclectic lineup of artists, including David Byrne, The War on Drugs, and many others. Tickets available at xpnfest.org or Ticketmaster. Steve Morrison on the bell.
Thank you, thank you. I wrote that. That's called Concerto in F.
Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, it's brought to you by Rita's Water Ice. Rita's gelati just got even better. The five-layer gelati. Try one of Rita's signature flavors or create your own. Endless possibilities available only in July, so create yours today at your Rita's. Tool fans got the shock of their lives yesterday when Google sent out a news alert announcing that the band's new album had been released. The alert read, Illusion World by Tool was released today, prompting an online frenzy as fans scurried to find out the deal. But it wasn't exactly what they hoped for. Illusion World, which is spelled I-L-L-U-T-I-O-N, not illusion, but Illusion World, is a musical effort only not by a progressive heavy rock act, but by a rapper named Tool with a dollar sign at the end, Tools.
What?
Who posted it on SoundCloud.
The hell is that?
So fans reacted strongly on Twitter, with one writing, Google nearly gave me a heart attack, while another got right to the point and said, okay, Google, go F yourself.
Okay, that's more what I'm thinking.
They are working on it, but they're not going to have it ready anytime soon.
Oh, so. No, they're not.
No. Disturbed paid tribute to late Pantera and Hell Yeah drummer Vinnie Paul Abbott by performing a cover version of the Pantera classic Walk on Saturday night at this year's Rock Fest in Wisconsin. Before launching into the song, Disturbed frontman David Draven told the crowd, our very first Ozfest, Pantera was on the main stage, and every night, somehow I ended up finding my way backstage to the Pantera dressing room. In fact, I think most of the band did, and they were always so welcoming. They had the warmest heart, and Vinny especially. And he went on to say a few really nice things about him. And then he said, I'm sorry, I'm starting to get a little choked up here while he was on stage. So still the rock world is throwing tributes and praise at Vinny. And then just one more story, and that's all I have.
What?
I'm sorry.
What?
What?
What? What?
Music Industry Trade Magazine, Polestar, has unveiled its annual mid-year worldwide tours chart. And it ranks the top 100 concert tours around the world during the first 6 months of 2018 by gross ticket sales.
Let me see if I can guess the top 50.
Yeah. No. I don't even have
time for that.
I don't even have the actual list itself. I just have highlights of it.
But do you have the top grossing?
I have the pop stars like Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, and Justin Timberlake dominated the survey. But rock acts such as Metallica, Foo Fighters, and Avenged Sevenfold made decent showings as well.
How was Tool's Illusion tour?
I don't know. They didn't get back on that.
Okay.
You know what? I did have a sheet that had the official rankings, but I threw it away. So I don't have it. I'm sorry.
Just guess.
Yeah. Well, this just has the ranking of the top concert tours around the world. I think I threw it away.
We have the death
toll on that Swiss avalanche. At least I thought I did. Hold on. It might be... Lou, it might be on the paper with the lunch order.
Scroll up to the top, please. All right, so apparently our interns have found the source information. Ed Sheeran was number one. Disney on Ice was number two.
Disney on Ice.
They announced that yesterday, by the way. Did you guys see that announcement from the Wells Fargo Center?
What's the theme?
You know what, Steve? I don't remember, but they announced the
princesses.
Dates.
Princesses.
Yes, right. Yeah. Disney Princess. Frozen, shockingly. Yeah. They're going back to that one. But no, it's in the same time as it is every year.
Dolores Claiborne.
Right after Christmas.
Now, I don't have the same list here. Is this, guys, is this from Polestar?
What's that from? That's from Polestar?
I thought you didn't have a list.
No, because, well, I have the names, and it says Roger Waters
over
was
here. With the names, you dingbat. It's Archie Bunker's concert roundup.
It says Roger Waters is the highest chart rock.
He's
act
in the Pink Floyd
at number 9, and on here it shows Roger Waters as number 7.
Uh-huh.
So you see the dilemma.
Well, this one says mid-year worldwide ticket sales. So go up to the top.
All the way. Is it from Polestar?
That's Polestar.com, all right.
Over here.
And all there right. are two Disney on Ices, by the way. The regular Disney on Ice, and then if you look over at...
Disney on that? Shale.
It says Disney on Ice presents...
Disney on Shale.
Frozen.
Huh. All right, anyhow.
I'll read
from this list up here that they brought up. Ed Sheeran, number one, followed by Disney on Ice. Bruno Mars was third. Pink was fourth. Kenny Chesney was fifth. The Rolling Stones, the top rock act at number 6, followed by Roger Waters at 7. Harry Styles was number 8. Harry Knuckles was number 9. Number 9 is Justin Timberlake. Number 10 is Taylor Swift.
And then the next is the Killers.
Yeah, at 11, then the Eagles at 12. U2 comes in at 14th. I'm just highlighting the rock ones. 15th was Foo Fighters.
And Cirque du Soleil, Cristal there, Preston.
Yeah, number 17.
Metallica is 19.
Mickey's search party. What the hell does that mean?
I think Minnie has been abducted by ISIS.
Oh, this is... I'm like... Yeah.
We have your wife, Mickey Mouse.
So this is a Disney on
and
Ice.
And we will not return her unless you deposit $1 million in a Swiss bank account.
Hmm.
Do you hear me, you gloved rat?
Do it! Please do it! For Christ's sake, they're going to kill me!
You gloved rat.
It's the most powerful on ice ever presented. The abduction of Minnie Mouse.
Sweet Jesus, I pray to you, save her. Bring her back to me on ice.
Mickey's search party.
We can't find her. This is no longer a search, Mickey. It's a recovery.
Oh. So this is going to be on December 24th to the 31st. We always get it right around Christmas. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, so anyhow.
Send Pluto out to give the press conference.
It's like Taken. Taken on Ice.
Yeah. I have a specific set of skills. One of them involves being jocular, and the other one involves flailing my hands in a comical way.
And I'm supposed to be frightened of this?
I'll see how they're going to pull that off.
I know, it'll be very powerful.
Oh, yeah. I got nothing else. Okay.
Give us the bottom 10 on the Polestar list. The worst concerts attendable.
All right, scroll to the bottom.
All right. There you go.
All right, number 90, Stereophonics.
Wow.
Stereophonics. Did they do Connected?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Get myself connected. I ain't gonna go blind to the light that is reflecting. Oh, Kathy, you got it.
At least we're ahead of Jerry Seinfeld.
All right, Jerry Seinfeld is 91. Wow.
Get a better Jerry
Seinfeld. Well, that's a concert. That's
he
a
probably
comedy.
Did. Yeah, just a
just small, yeah.
Number 92 is Paramore.
Paramore.
Now, keep in mind, these
they may have had partial tours.
Yeah, their tour could have ended
yes.
at the beginning of the year.
Right, yes.
Number 93 is Lord.
Lord.
Number 94 is Dancing with the Stars. Number 95 is Vance Joy. I don't know who that is.
Gaga.
Lady Gaga was 96, followed by School of Rock the Musical, Cirque du Soleil, Cusa.
Cusa?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
It's a clown's vagina.
I don't doubt it.
And then Foreigner was 99. Yeah. I'd go see Foreigner. And Scorpions.
Mickey, I'm going out tonight to the Foreigner concert. You be safe.
And then Scorpions rounded
it
out.
It started like any other night. The maybe top. Going out to a concert. It was the Foreigner concert.
The top 100. Did I get Stereophonics wrong?
Yes.
Stereo MCs.
Oh, my God. That's right. Yeah. Right.
Did connect it. Yeah. What has Stereophonics done?
Maybe Tomorrow. And,
sing a few bars, Nick.
Dakota. Dakota.
Dakota. Dakota Cabana.
Her name was Lola.
She was a showgirl with yellow ribbons in her hair.
Where did you come
Caitlin,
from?
Caitlin. Yeah. Faded dress cut down to there. Oh, you can see a little bit of sack.
Oh,
he's running back.
Okay.
Stereo MC's not on this list.
You realize that these concerts are really the bread and butter of the industry.
Yeah.
That's it. Concerts are everything now. No longer selling albums, no longer... It's supporting the concert.
It's because they have to.
They have to.
The way that, you don't buy CDs, you don't buy albums anymore. So that's kind of killed the money that's come in and streaming and things like that. These artists don't make as much money as they used to.
Okay. Thank you, Napster.
Yeah, exactly. All right, thank you, everybody. That's it. That's all I have in music news for you this morning. We're going to take a break.
What you just heard is the audio equivalent of bleeding out.
Yeah, we'll come back in a moment and get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Stay with us.
Whether social...
Hey, welcome in.
...or anti-social...
Hey, get out!
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
I would like to thank our Not Your Average listeners, Chris and Holly Jacobs, for being here this morning. And they have sled dogs, and they run a sled dog team, and very interesting story. They do it on the ground. They do it on the snow. And you guys chimed in, sent us some texts, and said that they should be the Not Your Average Listener winners, and they certainly were. And we have a new sponsor now for Not Your Average Listener, and it is, I want to make sure that I have all the information properly here, that it is Kraft Buses, Kraft School Bus. Not Your Average Bus Company, hiring school bus drivers in Chester County now. So you can go to kraftbus.com, which is spelled KRPFBUS.com. So thank you.
KRAPF.
What did I say?
You just said PF.
KRAPFBUS.com.
The P is silent.
That's right. So thank you, guys. We appreciate it. And that's it for that. I guess we need to do the letter of the day.
Oh,
so why don't we fire that up right now? You ready, Pierre?
Yo-ho.
And here we
Yo-ho.
Go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
R as in Rover.
All right, so we got another letter, and we got three more to go. And we have a VIP four-pack of tickets and pit passes for the Gander Outdoors 400 at Pocono Raceway. And it's July 27th through the 29th. And it's a huge NASCAR race weekend for the whole family. Kids 12 and under are free Friday and Saturday and half price on Sunday. I'll just keep going. And you can bring your friends. Bring your family.
I'm so sorry.
Just bring it. Pocono style. Tickets at PoconoRaceway.com. So there's a dog in the studio. And Pierre turns into another type of person when that happens.
I am communicating with my four-legged friend.
Ah, you are speaking his her language.
I am.
Yes.
You're a talking dog.
I am.
And you're a raving me.
I am.
It's from I Dream a Genie.
Okay. And there are miracles in the air everywhere and magic, just like I Dream of Genie. So the magic yesterday was Eric, our promotion director, came in with my missing Yanni.
Oh, that's awesome.
I had run in a fever, which is shocking, but all...
Your Yeti cup.
My Yanni, actually, and all my stuff had fallen out and gone everywhere in my overstuffed bag, and I thought my Yanni was gone for good, and Eric found it yesterday, and I said, that's a Monday miracle.
It is. It's your Preston and Steve Yanni, as you call it, and totally functioning, and that's great.
And filled with hot coffee, and, Preston, yesterday you said...
E pluribus unum.
Yes, and you've all done magical radio today. But what I loved that you said was regarding the heat, you said, don't worry, it'll be over before you know it.
Ah.
And there was something positive about that that said, yes, we'll get through this.
Ah.
And I thought that that was a good piece of fatherly advice. And Preston is sort of like the father figure to all of us. And
it's true.
I'm like the grandmother figure.
You're like the grandmother crocheting and leaving $5 in your report card.
He's the gum-gum of MMR.
I'm gum-gum. Mm-hmm. Gum-gum-gum.
Yep.
And
we lose her every once in a while.
Hi, Grandmom.
Now, don't mind her.
She's having one of her spells.
Shut the F up.
Well, thank you. I relish any compliment like
that.
It
was cool, though, because it said, you know, and somewhat the same today, you know, don't worry, we'll get you through it. But your thing was, it'll be over before you know it.
That's Grandma going off again.
Oh, remember that? Wow. Was that my Flipper imitation?
That's you doing Flipper.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I forgot about that. Anyway, so that was very positive and upbeat. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it.
And what you were doing in that last music break was hysterical. I loved that. Steve Morrison, how do you do it?
I'm an idiot.
No, you're brilliant. I mean, how do you summon such quick responses? I'm so slow, I can barely say. That. Like I had my interview with Dave Grohl. They said, you have 4 minutes. And I go, I can't say my name in 4 minutes.
Let me prove you wrong. This is, let me see if we have you. This is you at the, off the top of your head doing a gunfight.
Pa-cow, ka-pow, cow, pow, pow, pow! Kaboomba!
Kaboomba. Mm-hmm.
That's creative.
That's going to rope me a steer and kiss me a pretty girl.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Right. It's very kind of you.
What is on your program today, sir?
Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Me and my magic Yanni will have a pair of tickets for Beck at Festival Pier coming up this Friday, which will be cool.
Always a great show.
Always a great show. We've got great blocks, including Pink Floyd and the Foo Fighters and Rush.
Ah.
Cool us down. We need that Canadian blast of Arctic air coming down. And we'll have a wickedly cool thing from the archives from May of 1995. Matthew Sweet, who made some great, great, great music.
I love Matthew Sweet. The guy is a hook genius, knows how to write a great, great song. And one of the best concerts I ever saw was maybe like 60 people at a club. It was a rainy, horrible night. And I saw Matthew Sweet just soldier on and put on a great show.
Wow. I would love to see him. I never have seen him, but he appeared with Matt on Planet M in 95, and we've got a great live version of Girlfriend that we shall play. So that plus Double Shot Tuesday and many double shots by your request on You Call It Double Shot Tuesday. It'll be a fun day.
I love it. Thank you, Pierre. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, and also by Skull Shaver. Say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pitbull from Skull Mall Shaver, and Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Tomorrow, busy day on the program. We like it that way. Adam Ferrara, one of our friends, is getting in touch with us. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day. We also have director and musician Boots Riley, who has directed this film, Sorry to Bother You.
Massive accolades.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have him and also Armani model Jason Morgan in studio. The pride of Delaware County.
And O'Hara!
Casey's got a bit of a crush on him.
Yeah. Well, the bitch is, when he's in here, it's hard to distinguish him from us.
Yeah. So
we'll because we're all so physically similar.
We'll bring you that on video, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow again. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I'm a little jealous of the girl that just called in and gave her boyfriend a shout out. Why is my woman not calling in? I pay most of the bills. I real good. I'm not bad looking. I mean, what the f***? Where's my shout out? Carry in.
Next message.
This is just a reminder that the Philadelphia Eagles are world champions. Have a good day.
Next message.
You know, I've worked at steel mills and foundries. I've been in the Navy. I'm a truck driver now. You people are pussies because you're worried about how your fingertips feel after you get out of the pool. Damn.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.